Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
You're going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving at Gillette Stadium. Ton of media here today. And they'll be giving out turkey sandwiches later. I'm not kidding. Instead of pizza. So are the turkey sandwiches from Papa Gino's or is it from somewhere else?
I believe they're from Subway.
Oh.
Oh.
That's what I said. That means there's like one slice of turkey in it.
And it's...
Unless you ask for the extra meat.
Very processed turkey kind of... So. They should have gone D'Angelo's.
Are we really complaining about free food?
That's what we do.
Yep.
We don't complain when our listeners.
Speaking of that,
I'm
I
not
do,
complain about it. I'm just not eating.
I want to thank. I was remiss yesterday. We didn't thank Scott from Atlanta for giving us lunch yesterday. He didn't send an email, so we forgot about him.
Scott Lana.
But we certainly ate the food that he gave us. So we thank Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
One of our
send an email. We'll move you right to the top of the stack.
All time listeners. He's been with us for a long.
I don't know.
Time.
We got a lot of emails. Got a lot of emails.
It's true. I don't know if we'll be able to read them all because we're going to talk
too long. Just going to say it two times.
Freddie.
Yeah.
What did you think of Bill Belichick's opening to his press conference today?
The whole thanks thing. I walked in the middle of it.
Strange.
I don't think
so. He's never done it before, and it was very – he wanted to thank Mr. Kraft and the organization, and it kind of
– No, I think I said that.
He's done that before. On Thanksgiving? Come on.
I don't recall, and certainly not to that degree. It felt like a preemptive strike to me. It felt like me coming home with roses for my wife when she's going to find out later in the day that I did something wrong. It was very I found it weird. And it's fine. I mean, I have no problem with it. I think it's very nice. And
I think I recall him, when asked, you know, what are you giving thanks for, mentioning the facilities and working here and all that stuff. Not every year, but I think,
It just struck me as a
Are you reading anything into it? Like you said, like he was in the doghouse and he wanted to get him somewhere.
Well, yeah, I felt like
Mr. Kraft, that bad?
Mr. Kraft, when you get that FedEx from the league that's got Belichick on it, remember what I said in the press conference.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was just something they let's do this and
okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's probably nothing. It was probably somebody said, "Hey, it's Thanksgiving. Why don't you open with a what you're thankful for" kind of moment. And then he went on to. Basically called the Saints the everybody everything offense because everybody scores touchdowns. Everybody's got
touchdowns.
Numbers. They do everything. Everybody does everything there.
Well, I kind of share his fear because if you watched PFW TV last night, you saw that I picked the Saints.
Shocker. We should have teased that. Like on network TV, they would have teased a PFW finale like never before.
No, I honestly don't think.
The Patriots are going to win.
I think the Patriots have a chance, but and I know you guys make fun of me because I say when I think they have a chance, I choose the Patriots for good reason because usually they're, you know, they win those types of games. But
so you don't think they have a chance
this time? I just
don't.
I don't think on the road
LRC.
I don't think on the road the defense is quite ready yet for this all-out attack. And Belichick's right. The reason why they're the least blitz team in the NFL, it's like the average is 35.2% of the time. They're blitz like 23% of the time. It's because of the balance.
Somebody doing show prep these days?
Swallowing Mike Reese.
It's because of the balance story.
Wow.
Well, also Dean Pease's press conference yesterday. It's because of the balance that they have on offense. And the different sets, the different looks, different guys that Breeze can go to, and he's smart enough to be able to use those tools. You know, so I just don't think we're quite ready for it.
I don't know how I feel, but I mean, that's all true. They do use a lot of people. They do a lot of things. I just will be honest with you. I don't really fear any of them.
Okay, now let me...
I don't think any of them are elite.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Any of their receivers, any of the running backs, any of them.
I think that's part of the reason why I think that they have a good offense, because I don't think there's anything that they can take away that in normal circumstances I'd be happy and say, well, if we can just somewhat limit X.
Right. But I also am not sure I feel they need to.
Okay, but...
I feel like Will Fork Mayo...
All right, let me ask this question.
There's a chance those guys up front stop the running game more often than not.
Let me ask this question.
And I also feel like I, unlike Bill, I like the defense and think when we put five DBs on the field, I think they're all five solid DBs.
Okay, that gets to my question. Now, this could be a debate coming up. This could turn into a debate. So, if that's true, what you're saying, that... You know, our defensive line can do that. Our DBs are solid enough. Does that mean that the level of the competition the Saints have played just isn't good? And so people saying, well, they haven't played anybody yet. They're right?
I never said that.
I don't.
Well, the NFC is not as strong as the AFC. I don't think
they've won their games. They put up a lot of points.
That.
I think they deserve a lot of the credit they're getting. But that doesn't mean I go in thinking I can't stop them. I've told you, I think this defense lacks stars and top playmakers, but I think it's solid.
Okay.
And I think it might be solid enough to hang with. This is, don't get me wrong, they're not shutting them out. But this is one of those games where I say they will hold them to seven less than what Brady and company can give them to work with. I think Will Height's pretty good. I think Butler's pretty good if he has to come in and play. Will he give up some plays? Maybe. But I don't fear Marcus Colston, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham. I just don't feel... fear getting embarrassed by a guy having five catches for 220 and three scores.
So you feel that...
I think like the Patriots' defense, their offense has to do a lot of things well.
Right.
All of them. And if you can match that with the defense, I think you can get into a battle
so
there.
So between the Patriots' defense being good enough and the Patriots' offense probably being better than what the Saints have faced so far...
I don't expect Brady
difference.
To throw pick sixes to put his team
so
in a hole.
I'm looking for reasons to... say to myself, I'm wrong. You know?
Oh, you will. By Monday night, you will.
Yeah, if you're looking for that, then the Patriots certainly have all the things going for it on offense that the Saints do.
On offense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they have a better defense.
Well, you know, although...
See, that's how I look at
it. Are the Patriots as deep at wide receiver?
No.
Are they as deep at tight end?
Yeah. They're really? As deep,
absolutely.
But not as good. But at receiver,
well,
the Patriots
I mean.
Have
if
the top
good,
end.
They're not as good, they're not as deep. Are they as good at tight end as the Saints?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think Shockey's a better playmaker.
He's a better pass catcher. That's it.
Is Dave Thomas better than Chris Baker at this point?
No. They're both. Yeah,
How about are the Saints better at running back right now than the Patriots?
Tell me who's active for the game. Well, no.
Yes, in my opinion, they are.
Tell me who's active for the game, and I'm not so sure.
I thought everybody was for them. No.
For us.
Oh, for us?
If it's just Maroney, I'll take the Saints. No,
Fred Taylor's not
Sammy
playing.
Morris
that's the only thing that would swing
so
me.
So Sammy Morris plays?
I like Sammy Morris, Lawrence Maroney, and Kevin Falk. I think they're pretty good.
I do, too.
I don't think they're as good as the Saints.
I think Thomas is eh.
Reggie Bush is Marshall Falk. He can do everything.
Right.
You know?
I have a poor man's Reggie Bush in Kevin Falk.
You know, Bell is probably better than Maroney at this point. A lot different running back than Morris.
I'm not in love with either of those two guys.
I think that they're deeper on offense.
But you are in love with Sammy Morris?
No, that's my point. That's why I think it's kind of the same thing.
See, I think
it's a committee approach by a couple good guys.
Right now, I think, you know.
Same thing. I think Falk and Bush are the best of the two.
I think Moss and Welker are better than anything they have.
They are.
I think Brady is better than Breeze. But I think as a whole, their offense is a lot more deep. Than the Patriots.
It may be.
Yeah, I think
they pose a lot more problems.
I do too, and I think if you took away all of that depth, you'd have guys with 70 catches instead of 40.
Yeah,
I think that they have four or five guys to throw to, and the Patriots have two.
Right.
I think that's
why I think the Patriots throw to two because they're that
now, Randy,
much better.
Now, Randy Moss and Wes Welker, they're terrific. But I think that you could have other guys doing this, you know, similar stuff in an offense like that. Not every offense. Right. I'm talking about with Breeze and that, you know, those schemes and stuff. I think you could have guys that would be productive.
I think if you know, like,
I don't think they're as good as Moss and Welker. Before, I agree with Andy on
before
that.
Before 07, you know, when Brady spread it out, always hit, you know, it didn't matter. He hit the guy that was open. Everybody had numbers. Nobody had amazing numbers until Moss got here. But if you gave Brady this cast of characters that the Saints have, he'd go to town with them, I would think.
He wouldn't throw for more yards than he throws now.
No.
Well, I don't know about it, but all those guys would be doing even better than I think.
It just would be different. It would be more productive.
Different. Yeah.
That's why I think it's a very similar offense.
Yeah.
But it would just be different. I mean, Brady throws for 300 yards every week. Yeah. I mean, how many yards can he throw for every week? He's got five games in a row. He's been over 300 yards just throwing to two guys.
So you're suddenly fearful that Moss and Welker aren't enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Well, why?
Only health. The only fear for me is health.
But
they've proven
one or the other is going to have a big game if a defense tries to target either or.
Well, okay, so then maybe...
That's my point about the Saints. I think this defense can match up and play defense against the Saints. I'm not saying there's a guaranteed win, but I don't fear them getting embarrassed, a guy they can't stop.
So let me ask you a question then. Can the Saints defense match up with the Patriots offense? Is that the one thing that the Patriots have going for it is that we'll do a better job on defense against the Saints than the Saints will do on the Patriots offense, and that could be the key.
That's my theory.
Paul,
that's the theory I'm going with.
No.
You don't.
No, I think the Saints are going to – I think if the Saints don't turn the ball over, they win.
I think if the Patriots don't turn the ball over, they win.
See, that's where he and I disagree.
What if they both don't turn it over?
Saints win.
I think the Patriots win.
I just said if the Saints don't turn it over, they win. Right. I don't care what the Patriots do.
Because of the Saints' offense?
Yeah. At home. Again, if they were playing on a neutral site or in Foxborough where – some other factors might creep in. I might have a different opinion. I think that they have an advantage playing in that dome at home. I think the Patriots offense will play well. I don't think the Saints defense will shut them down. But I do think that they will slow them down enough, and I don't see the Patriots stopping a good offense. I haven't really seen that this year, and I don't expect to see it Monday night.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, they played the Colts, and... Yeah, they stopped them made them punt more than they ever did in the first half. But when the chips were down, they couldn't really
stop them.
They really couldn't stop them.
Yeah, and in holding them down, and I agree, they forced more punts than any of us expected. And at the end of the day, they still had 35 points. And I think this is a better offense than they saw.
And I do too. That's the thing. I think the Saints can run the ball much better than the Colts can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their depth at receiving players, guys who catch the ball, is much deeper than the Colts.
I
think
agree
Manning's
with that.
Better than Drew Brees, but that's it.
And Wayne is better than insert
Wayne,
name
that's
here.
It.
But that's
and
but
that's similar to the Patriots. Right. Brady's better than Brees. Moss is better than Colston, let's say.
Right.
But that's about it.
Well, Fred, one's 10-0, one's 7-3. One's one of the best teams in the AFC. One's one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah,
this
agree.
Is not going to be a layup. It's an obvious
but
pick.
I
that's
pick,
why they're two of the better teams in football.
I know, but I picked the Patriots to beat the Colts, and I still think they should have.
Okay.
Because
I
of
agree.
Those reasons. I'm not picking
yeah, but
them to
isn't
beat
anything,
the Saints.
Isn't anything that happened in the Colts game affecting your pick here? Because it is for me.
Well, the defense, exactly.
Yeah, that's...
Exactly.
See, that's
I'm sticking with my opinion of the defense and not Bill's.
If
that's
I had
what
seen,
I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
But that's a snarky backhanded.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
It is. Yes, it is.
All along, I thought the Patriots' defense was getting better
so
by
Bill
the
Belichick
week.
Bill Belichick doesn't like his defense. Okay, we get it.
I don't think
we,
he thinks
we,
as
we,
much of it as I do.
We get the snarky
He
attitude.
Didn't think they had it. No, there's no attitute involved.
I'm pretty sure he
How about in 45 minutes when you have the guest on, you ask him?
How about
you ask him, okay?
Have we
even talked about the guest?
No. How about he thought that...
Shouldn't we talk about
How about he thought that my offense is so good, I'm just going to get the first down?
Okay. So he went against reason. He went against the norm.
No, he had so much thought about his offense.
But you can't have a thought about your offense without having thought about your defense.
I don't want to get into 4th-and-2 again, okay? Okay, I just explained
my reason. I'm pretty sure Belichick thinks a lot more of his defense than I do, to be honest with you.
So do I.
See, I don't.
Okay.
Because I think they're coming together as a pretty good defense.
So Okay. I'm just explaining my reasoning for picking the Saints. That's okay. All I'm doing right now. And then my second question is, if the Patriots win, which of course I hope they do, what does that say? Does it say that we've underestimated their defense, or that the opponents that have played the Saints so far are not that good?
Well, it is what it is.
Why don't we wait to see how they win?
Well,
if they win 56-49, I don't think anybody underestimated their defense.
Right.
You know, I mean, if they win 13-10, yeah, I'd say we probably underestimated their defense.
Well, what
but
if
in
the,
all likelihood, it's going to be in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
However they win or lose.
I mean, if they had won 34-28, like they should have beaten the Colts, I don't think any – I wouldn't come out and say, oh, geez, I really underestimated their defense.
Not really, but I would have said they were good enough, just like all year. As the challenge was raised, were good enough.
It was a game that unfolded the way a lot of people thought. It was a shootout.
Yeah, I think to get the Colts to punt more than they do is a good job.
If the Patriots handle the Saints in one of those nod games in the second quarter, what does that say?
Oh, they throttle them?
I don't mean like 59-0.
Then I'll think less of the Saints.
You know,
It'll have nothing to do with the Patriots.
Then I would go to your thing with the Saints. I would think the Patriots are clearly better than the Saints, and the Saints were exposed.
They're exposed.
But both, I give the Patriots credit for doing it, for exposing them.
They finally came up against a good team, the Saints, and they were exposed. And they were exposed.
Yeah, that's what that means. That's
what I want to have happen.
Well, obviously.
But is it likely?
Thanks.
I don't think so. That's why I'm picking the Saints.
You think that's going to happen?
How? Because I think they're going to win like 31-28 or 34-30.
I thought that's
the score I picked.
Well, the way you were talking, I thought you thought they were going to shut them down. Well, not shut them down, but be good enough.
I think it'll be similar to the Colts, where they will play better than you expect them to play
against
one of the greatest offenses.
And I just said that, and you said,
but
they made them punt more than they had, and they better, and the defense was better than we thought. You just said that.
That's what I just said.
Okay. Well, I can't figure out what you mean there.
Everybody thinks this defense has no playmakers and can't really do anything. They thought they were frauds. I can't believe they haven't given up points. They're good enough. Well, if you're good enough against the best offense in football, then you're just pretty good.
But what's good enough?
I think they played good enough to beat the Colts. I think they played good enough to beat the Colts.
But
that night, in that game, the way that game played out, I think they were good enough.
They played good enough at times, but it's a whole game.
And so did the Colts, who Peyton Manning, I thought, was one of the greatest you-can't-stop-him quarterbacks in the history of the planet.
Then at the end of the night,
that's what the whole talk is now.
You get 35 points.
Well, if you put him on the 29-yard line, yeah, I don't think the defense is very good. I think more often than not, they'll lose to Peyton Manning.
All right. No,
I think the game should have ended 34-28.
I'm with Fred on this. I don't want to get back to 4th-and-2, but what is your opinion on a punt?
What do you mean?
They get the ball at their own 20-yard line. What is your opinion in the last 2 minutes?
My opinion?
Yeah.
I think they have a chance to stop them.
Because
you can either take the last couple series or the rest of the game. They stopped them some. They didn't stop them some. I wanted to see them have a chance.
Clearly, they would have had a chance. Clearly, they would have had a chance to stop him. I don't think anybody can deny that. I don't think even Bill could deny that. I just was asking what your opinion was, if they would have
I don't know.
Okay.
Because this isn't the time-tested Patriots defense, so I don't have a history to go with.
But I
think I would have liked to seen them try.
And I'm totally with you.
They're not bad enough to go.
You're a little defensive. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm going to go get subs.
There's no right or wrong.
Now he's leaving. Now he's walking out.
I'm going to go get subs.
Go ahead. Go get subs.
He just pulled an Eric.
I can't argue what I think.
I'm asking you a simple question. What is your opinion? Would they have stopped him or not? And you said, I don't know. I know we don't know. It didn't happen.
He just throws down his earphones and leaves.
That's fine.
He's acting like a baby.
He got mad at you. I don't really know why.
I just said, stop yelling.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm just saying, my opinion, they would have given up a touchdown. The way the game, I think that Peyton Manning would have gone down 70 yards, 70 plus yards, and scored. That's not the right answer.
Right.
It didn't happen. It's a hypothetical.
You don't know.
Just like if someone says, I think they would have stopped them 4 and out.
Right.
They wouldn't even have gotten a first down. That's not wrong either.
Right.
It didn't happen. I just was wondering what his opinion was.
I'm wondering what his definition
of good enough is.
Right.
Like, to me, winning the game and giving up 30 points, that's not really good enough. You outscored them.
Right.
You outshot them.
Right. That's more of a testament to your offense.
And that, to me, is the way the Patriots will have to win those games. That's why I am not a believer in the defense.
Right.
That's what I was trying to get at, but... I don't know why he got all mad.
Why did he get all mad?
I don't know why.
He was yelling. He was talking too loud.
He's very wound up. It was causing distortion
in my headphones.
He's very
wound
up.
You do have a volume knob. You could turn that down if it's.
I did turn it down, but still. I mean, Paul wasn't causing distortion.
Which is a rarity on this show, because usually I'm the one who is way
And you're supposed to be working the board. When you see that it go in the red, you're supposed to
pot him down.
It actually wasn't
say.
In the red, and Andy's lower than the rest of you guys.
But what, the point, which backs up my point, usually I'm the one that's riled up. But like I said, it was a hypothetical I was asking him, and the answer wasn't, I don't know. I mean, I understand that we don't know what happened. I don't know wasn't what I was looking for, but I didn't get it. In my opinion, for the Patriots to win these kinds of games, you know, against an Indy or against the New Orleans, the offense is going to have to top 30 points. And to me, that's not good enough defense.
Is there anything to
you could win it. Yeah, you could win.
Sure.
The Patriots could have won that night, 34-28.
You're winning the best defense is a good offense.
Right. And everybody would have been talking about all the punts they forced and all of this, but at the end of the night, it would have been 400-plus yards of total offense, 4 touchdowns for Manning, and all of that, and yet you just scored more than they did, so you won.
Right.
And that's how, to me, that's how they have to win.
Is there anything to the hope or argument that the Saints have never been in here before? They've never been 10-0.
Yep.
They've never been on this type of stage before, and that could affect them?
Absolutely. I think that's a big factor. I think the fact that the Patriots are used to this situation, we'll talk to Teddy about it. We are going to have Teddy Bruschi on around 1 o'clock for the listeners that don't know that. And I think that's part of – I heard him talking.
Arizona.
I heard him talking about it, and I think that this is one of those games that the Patriots sort of look forward to.
But when
we
say the Patriots are used to this, all we're talking about is Bill Belichick, Tom Brady.
Yeah, good point.
As a point
it's the uniform. It's not necessarily the players now.
It's as opposed to Drew Brees and Sean Payton. You know, is that really who we're talking about as far as they've been there before? Because a lot of Patriots haven't been there before. Gerard Mayo's never been there before.
Yeah.
Brandon Merriweather, all those guys in the defensive backfield.
It's a good point.
They've never been there before.
It's a good point. And they were there.
But they have a coach who has
and a been. Lot of the, and a lot of these Saints actually were at in the NFC Championship game in 06.
Yeah.
You know, Brees, Bush, Colston.
True.
You know, a lot of these guys. I mean, not all of them, certainly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of turnover, too. You know, Sean Payton is I think, a pretty good young coach.
Yep.
He's a game-playing kind of guy, like Bill, so that, I think, presents a different kind of challenge because you don't know exactly. And Bill talked a lot about the personnel groups that they use, both sides of the football, you know, how they're almost mirror images of each other on both sides of the football in that they're very difficult to prepare for to get your matchups straight. They're looking for matchups, and it's hard to match their matchups.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly, and they have so many different guys that can do so many different things.
And on defense, I don't like that Greg Williams guy.
He scares me. I don't like Greg Williams.
He's a mean old cuss.
I don't like Greg Williams.
Yeah. He looks like Tom
overrated.
Skerrick.
I don't like what he did with Drew a few years back when he was in Washington.
What did he do?
When they sacked Bledsoe and he was like,
you don't like
going crazy. No, I didn't like his antics on the sideline. It was, you know, it was to you, Josh McDaniels. Like just too exuberant.
Too much.
Too exuberant too on much. The sideline.
No, he's I respect him as a defensive
coordinator. He's a good coach.
He wasn't good in Buffalo though.
Not as a head coach.
No.
He's been a good coordinator pretty much throughout his career.
Yeah, he was born to be a defensive coordinator.
Pretty good in Tennessee. He was pretty good in Washington, even though the Redskins didn't win a lot. They had pretty good defenses.
That's right.
He went to Jacksonville. He didn't do much there, but he's been a pretty good defensive coordinator throughout his day.
Yeah. He's like a mini Jimmy Johnson.
And that was a terrible, terrible defense
in
the last couple of years. And I still don't think they're very good now. They are playing much better, and they turn you over.
Yeah,
29 turnovers created.
And they're going to have some guys back. Do we have
maybe?
Yeah, we'll get the injury report today.
Yeah, I still haven't seen anything that says for sure. You know, Tracy Porter, I don't think is back. I think Jabari Greer's got a chance.
Yeah,
but they're signing defensive backs left and right.
Yeah. Okay. Quick email from Dave. He says, "Seriously, Fred, get over it. 4th and 2." We're looking good for the second half of the season. We will be looking even better with Taylor coming back at some point and all-pro tackle Matt Light soon to return. My prediction is Patriots by 10 Monday night. P.S. Andy is a crybaby. Well,
the
obviously.
Second half of the season is 3 games old. Just for, you know.
Well, the December run, I guess,
okay.
is what he means. The stretch
run. So when we start winning, that's what we call the second
the
half.
The stretch run. Hopefully, we're going to have a special guest at 1 o'clock today.
Okay, I thought we had a special guest.
Well, he's got to call in. I mean, things could happen. His cell phone could die. May not charge it. A certain analyst from ESPN might be calling in at 1.
I already said that he's coming on.
Who, Teddy Bruschi? Oh. Okay. So we expect to hear from him around 1 o'clock. He'll be calling in. That'd be good, talking to him about it. So, And on the phone right now, 508-543-7482, is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Normally I don't call up to criticize anybody,
but I caught
a little bit of the playbook yesterday, and I found it kind of laughable when he was talking about Lawrence Maroney, as in he actually made it as if it could be possible to change the offensive line to suit Maroney's needs. Now, I found that crazy and laughable. Am I the only one that thinks that?
Who said that? Rook?
Yes.
Change the offensive line to suit his needs. I would imagine what he means by that is more of a running style type offensive lineman. But what is? I don't know.
I mean, I'd have to ask. Yeah, I'd have to ask. He wants them to be lighter and quicker.
Yes.
Oh, they're already lighter.
Oh, so he wants
line.
To run like a Broncos type.
That's what they
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Look, the thing about John Rook is he's been drinking, and you know we need to talk to him about that because
maybe a little intervention.
It's during the show that he's been drinking.
Well, yeah. Sucky,
is
sucky,
in
sucky.
Basement? Is his basement a wine cellar too?
Yeah.
That could be, Anthony. You would know about it.
I like masculine guys. Brady is too girly for me.
Oh, God.
I would destroy him in every sense.
I don't know. I found
Eric
that,
cackling
like,
in the background?
Oh. I found that a little crazy. I just want to make sure I wasn't the only one.
Well, certainly I wouldn't. I think when you have a guy like Brady, you might change your offense to cater to him
right.
or Moss or Adrian Peterson if you had a runner of that kind of style or Chris Johnson. Lawrence Maroney doesn't have the talent to tailor anything to him.
Yeah, but I understand, like, hypothetical talk.
Right.
That's not even hypothetical. That's just crazy talk to
That's
me.
That's just crazy talk.
It is. It's just like he's on the last year
not
of the contract.
Crazy.
It's like, why even talk about that? I don't know.
He's been mainlining heroin during the show.
Oh, Fred.
So what?
Something's up. I don't know, guys. It was just very odd, I thought, you know, to even, like, bring that. To me, that's kind of like EEI banter. You know what I mean? I expect that.
Right. We're more intelligent on Patriots.com radio.
Yeah. To be truthful with you guys, you know, I can't even stand some of the callers that call EEI. It's just, I don't understand where they come from. It's like... To dedicate time to sports talk radio, and yet to sound like you don't even have a clue. It's numbing to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, besides the point, I just wanted to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Back to you.
And don't worry about, I honestly have a good feeling about New Orleans. I think their schedule is kind of light.
Well,
yeah, I agree with that.
We'll see.
I don't normally jump in on the they haven't played anybody
right.
bandwagon when a team is 10-0.
Right.
I mean, if it's 3-0, 4-0, that's different. But, you know, at 10 wins, I mean, when they beat the Giants, for example, that was a good win.
Yeah.
You know, the Giants were undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, when they
right.
they went in, they completely waxed the Giants.
Yeah.
That's a good win.
But now we know who the Giants
But
really,
now the Giants
yeah,
have lost
exactly.
a few games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still think that's a good win. I think it's interesting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's
interesting. But I agree with you, Anthony. I don't think they've been overly tested. And I certainly would not take away the Patriots. I think that I am picking New Orleans to win the game, but I am certainly not taking away any of New England's chance to win.
Right.
I think they have as good a chance to win as New Orleans does. I just think I'm going with the home team, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think offensively, like I think you made the point, Paul, is just they have a lot of depth, a lot of good wide receivers spread out instead of having that beast Reggie Wayne like the Colts do.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about when Andy brought it up. Wayne is excellent, and he is better than anybody the Saints have. But the Patriots, that's the part that I think the Patriots did a pretty good job of in the first three quarters. They didn't allow him to take over the game. And that's, you know, and then all of a sudden he asserted himself and made some plays. But I think that you don't really have that opportunity because if you pick someone with New Orleans, somebody else, the problem that night was Garcon couldn't catch the ball.
Right.
Holly couldn't catch the ball.
Right.
Adai couldn't catch the ball out of the backfield with that deep pass down the sideline. I don't think that Devery Henderson and Lance Moore, if he plays, and Shockey will drop those passes
right.
the way that the Colts did that night because I think their secondary guys are better than the Colts' secondary guys. I don't think anybody they have – I don't think Colston is anywhere near as good as Wayne, but I think their other guys are better than the Colts' other guys.
Yep.
Yeah, Breeze is a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but he's no Peyton Manning.
No,
I don't
think
he's not going to read and react as quick as Peyton. That's what kills teams is Peyton, his release is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's just, it's so fast. You sit there and you just marvel at it. And, you know, I hate to say this, but the argument gets closer for me between him and Brady, you know? Like, granted, in that big game moment, yeah, you want Brady. You can understand, like, why some people pick Brady. But just now, the argument's almost getting away from you. It's like, you know, he kind of does show up in the bigger games now.
But here's what I fear about Breeze. And yeah. I think that the transformation in Manning, the reason that Manning's been able to win five of the last six is because he's sort of changed the way yep. he goes about his business. Whereas he used to be goaded into taking some chances with the football, he now, for the most part, sticks to the underneath stuff and takes what the Patriots give him.
Yep.
Breeze has always done that. And that's, I think, what part of the – and Breeze only played the Patriots twice. And both times he had a good amount of success. He's frustrated Bill, I think, a little bit because he's a pretty smart quarterback, and he doesn't force the ball. Now he'll throw interceptions. Everybody throws interceptions, okay? I'm not saying he's perfect, but I think that generally he's going to make the right reads and go to the right place with the football and not jam it into double coverage 50 yards downfield.
Doesn't need to do that
anymore. The way Manning would do occasionally.
Yeah,
Breeze doesn't really do that. That's what fears me about Breeze. He's a hard guy to sort of knock off his rhythm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, this game is definitely going to be telling. I hope they play for all four quarters. That's the only thing I hope for.
Well, we'll get into that, too, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that because I think if you slip up, it's the same thing is going to happen that happened to Indy. If you allow, if you get a lead and get control of the game and you allow the Saints to hang around, I think
they've done it all season.
They'll be able to make plays. They've played from behind a lot. You're right, Fred.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. All right, Anthony's gone. Thanks for the call. Andy's back. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out if he's okay now.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and Internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriots, PFW in progress!
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, we're back here at PFW Progress. Andy's back, and he's still wound up. He's all Meshuggah today.
What was that?
Meshuggah.
Andy?
Means crazy in Yiddish.
So.
I don't speak Yiddish. I have to whisper.
Oh, okay. So now you're going to...
But that was part of the reason why, you know, that is that part of your charade with the crafts? So you picked up a few Yiddish words along the way as well?
I'm actually Jewish.
No, I know you are, but I'm convinced that... Never mind.
So anyway, Andy, you're just mad for no reason now?
I don't know. You guys are going to tell me I can be, or...
I just want to ask you the same question that I asked before you left.
How to argue.
No, you were screaming. And let the record show,
as
I
Paul says, when he gets red and when he yells, that's how I argue.
And let the record
Isn't
show...
Isn't his job to pull it down?
But it wasn't even like you were arguing anything. He was just asking for your opinion.
But let the record show that
I didn't care.
Sorry,
I didn't give you your opinion through my mouth you wanted it delivered.
I don't care about what your answer is.
The irony is, I'm arguing the Patriots can win.
No. You're missing.
We're not even arguing.
And I got kicked off the show.
You got kicked off the show. You throw your headphones down and stomped off like Will Perillo when I tell him to shut PlayStation off.
Or like Eric.
Oh, that's true.
Well, no, he just...
Yeah, but he does it for no reason.
He just sits with his arm folded.
He has never, ever argued.
Let the record show, by the way, I didn't care how loud you were getting. That's what I do. When I'm worked up, I don't care. But here's the hypothetical. The hypothetical that I asked you that you told me I don't know. I'm just asking your opinion. Yes or no, do you think they would have stopped him?
Yes.
That's all... I mean, that was the only thing I was looking for.
Am I sure? No.
No, I mean, I don't think
Tom Brady would get the first down, but I'm not sure, and there's a risk involved.
Right. Just like I didn't think they would stop him, but that doesn't mean I'm right. I mean, it didn't happen. There's no right or wrong answer. But when you go, I don't know, and then you threw your headphones down.
No, I got mad because he's yelling.
Well, you were screaming, and my ears were like...
That was classic. Classic PFW moment right there.
Headphones down. It was distorting.
That's his fault. Now I'll point in that direction.
He's just lashing out in every direction. God help Eric when he gets here.
All right. So
I think I figured out, by the way, the great Moss controversy, doesn't practice, just came to me, how we watched him in the locker room, and Harold Nash came through and said something to him, and he said, H, I'll be up in a minute, and he put on a vest that you can attach the strings to.
Right.
Maybe Wednesday is just his pure physical day, staying in shape at his age day, and because he sounded like he was meeting Harold Nash up in the concourse maybe or somewhere to do running, to do physical stuff.
Absolutely.
And he was Wednesday is every day that he's, you know, limited or did not practice.
So he does other things.
I think so.
Yeah. He was all suited up, you know, ready to do something. He had his sweats on and that vest, whatever that vest is.
It's like a
maintenance day.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, he does what he has to do. I have no problem with what he's been doing this
clearly
year.
It's been six weeks. He hasn't practiced on Wednesday, not injury-related, and he has suited up and been highly productive on Sunday.
Right.
For the most part.
Highly productive.
This past week.
God forbid. Him or Welker goes out, or we're in trouble. So whatever it takes to keep him healthy for Sunday.
Healthy, happy, and on the field on Sunday.
I do think against a good team, that would be bad, bad news to lose one of those two guys.
Oh, if they lose one of those two, I'm changing my pick, and it's a blowout.
You know,
this offense is predicated around having both those guys on the field if it's going to succeed and score points.
Yeah, right now you can't argue with that.
Always,
you can't argue with that.
Not even me.
The tight ends aren't really getting involved. There's a big drop off after Welker. You know, the running game is not consistent or dependable. So that's what it is. It's Brady, Moss, and Welker. know, that's a lot. You know, it's,
yeah, that's more, and that's why. Look, listen, what are they? The second highest scoring team in the league,
right,
behind New Orleans,
right?
I mean,
that's saying a lot, you know. But one of them gets hurt, and
it's all over.
Yeah. So, all right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Tree Hugger in Oregon writes in, unfortunately, no TV theme MP3 today, but the good news
Seriously.
Is...
Apparently, what? Subway Turkey doesn't agree with Fred.
I've got plenty of work to keep me busy. In the meantime, a few questions. One, regarding second half problems, just wondering, is there any possibility that their conditioning isn't up to snuff?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
No. Two, how is my man Chung with the head injury?
I haven't seen him.
Was he in the locker room today?
I didn't see him.
He was. I saw him walk through the locker room, yeah. I didn't talk to him.
Did he know where he's going?
Did he look
he only talks on Thursdays.
No, but did he know where he's going? Was he walking in a straight line?
I don't know. I didn't talk to him.
Okay.
He only talks on Thursdays.
But he wasn't wobbly when he walked through. Okay.
Couldn't tell you.
Three, can I get that iTunes info so I can get my podcast fixed? We have a lot of emails. I guess there's something going wrong with the iTunes link. And we have a help ticket open with iTunes, and we're working on it.
A help ticket open with iTunes? What does that mean?
Is that concerning? Oh, disconcerting.
No, it's troubling and frustrating.
Okay.
So all those people who get the feed through iTunes were having trouble yesterday. And
so go to Patriots.com.
Yeah, you can still get the link from Patriots.com and download it right from there. So.
And you should be doing it that
but
way.
People anyway. Like to get the subscription. It's a subscription.
I know.
Are we fixing it? I mean, are we on a...
We're working on it.
Who's we?
The iTunes staff.
And?
And Chris Ferrer.
Oh, boy.
It's very disconcerting.
Paula and David says, Patriots haven't yet played four solid quarters. Belichick always preached to his team 60 minutes. They haven't yet.
For the most part, I would agree with that. Kind of hard to say.
Titans game looked pretty good.
Kind of hard to say they didn't do that against Tennessee. But, yeah, the point is right. I agree with Paula and David.
Yes. They teaming up to send us emails.
It's a little weird.
Well, maybe they both listen together.
Do they alternate letters when typing?
Wow, Andy just
loaded for bear today.
What's the matter with you today?
Nothing.
I got to tell you something.
Happy.
I've been with him all day, and I had no idea there was anything wrong until
you
now.
Brought it out.
Did you have some?
And you too.
Did you have
I don't
some?
Know what I did. He was the one that was yelling at you to stop yelling.
I didn't yell. Did you have some road rage this morning on the way to work?
Oh, not at all. I was early. There weren't many people on the road. I cruised in a nice, comfortable middle lane kind of day.
I had some yesterday.
It was great today.
Yeah, you had some yesterday when a woman beeped at you and you almost jumped out of your seat.
Oh, God forbid I stop at a red light before making a right, and she beeps at me.
She did. She was in the wrong, but it was very entertaining to watch it unfold. And then he said, I hope she goes to Neckin. Give her a piece of my mind.
I would have.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yes, I would have. No, I would have said, you know, what's your problem? You roll through red lights? Is that what you do?
What if it had been the hot host of Dreamhouse?
Is that how you... Well,
that
he doesn't
blonde.
Think she was hot.
I don't think she's that hot. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
I want to get your
Who's
eyes
that,
checked.
Jonas?
Brother?
Jonas is on the phone. Hey, Jonas.
Hey, Fred.
What's up, brother?
I just want to see... I don't listen to you guys live, and, you know, are you talking about the Saints yet, or is that not...
We're heavy into the Saints right now.
Yeah, these guys don't think the Patriots have a chance. I'm the only one picking the Patriots.
That's silliness. Typical you. That's why you end up throwing your headphones down and stomping out.
Yes, I am picking the Saints to win.
Wow. Fred is...
Yes.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, what's the number, you know...
Three. Saints by three.
Oh, it's that close?
The spread?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a very even game.
Okay, well, so it's even, basically.
That's the way I look at it, yeah.
Yeah, holy, wow, okay. Well, I mean, I just listened to Monday's Bill, and he, you know, on the EEI, and he seemed pretty confident that the offense matches up, and that's, you know, that's nice to hear him say out loud. I don't know, I think they're the best team in the league, you know?
You think the Saints are?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, see, I don't.
I think they have a very, very good offense. I'm not sold on the defense. I'm kind of with Andy on their defense.
Yeah, just because of injuries or overall?
Well, even when they're fully healthy, I'm not overly sold. I think they're one of those units that they take the ball away a lot, and I don't think that's necessarily really good defense. And I know a lot of people argue with me about that. I like
the chance thing.
Punts. force punts, stop them three plays.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, I'm not saying it's not good to get turnovers. Clearly, if you create turnovers, you're going to win the game more often than not. But I think it's a tenuous way to live defensively if you can't force punts and you're only relying on coming up with a turnover or two during the course of the game to get your stops.
And those teams often run out of gas.
And at some point,
I mean, over the years,
at some point in a big game, you don't get them.
Games.
Yeah. Well, they also give the ball away a ton.
They do. They turn it over.
Second to the Raiders, I think, in turnovers.
Yes.
They must have a ton of fumbles then, because Breeze only has like 8 or 9 interceptions,
I believe they have,
right?
It's all fumbles.
10 fumbles and 9 interceptions.
That's a lot of lost fumbles.
I think they have 19 total. He's got small hands, you know.
Breeze has a lot of fumbles, too.
Well, didn't they have like 2 on special teams in one game or 3 in one game?
I do not know.
On special teams, I thought.
The Saints did?
Yeah.
The Saints are a heart attack team in a lot of ways, with turnovers both ways, big plays both ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. In their
well,
games.
That's generally their close games have been because of that. Miami, when they got in that shootout and they fell behind, I think Breeze threw 3 first half.
3 picks, 5 sacks.
St. Louis game, they had 2 picks by Breeze in the first half, plus a fumble at the 5-yard line. You know, in the first half. So all of a sudden, instead of, you know, that's 21 potential points, instead the other team's in the game and they're able to run their offense the way they want to. I think what the Saints like to do is get a lead and then let those guys on the outside, Smith and Grant, get after the quarterback a little bit, and that's where they probably get a lot of their takeaways.
It'd be nice if the Patriots could play that way.
Yeah, they don't have, I mean, they have Telly Bantakane, and they don't really have guys that you can say, wow, they're up 3 scores right now. It'd be interesting to see them turn the dogs loose here. In order to turn the dogs loose for New England, Bill's got to send Jonathan Wilhite and Brandon Merriweather and Brandon McGowan, you know, in order to really turn up the pressure. They start with the all-out blitz.
When is Jarvis Green going to be back?
He looks good today.
He's probably got a shot this week.
I think he could play this week. I think you get a few guys back.
Well, I mean, he said by the beginning of December, and we're talking
Morris,
November 30th. Yeah.
Green. I think you could get retooled there a little bit.
I think he's got a shot.
All right, Jonas.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Jonas.
See you, brother.
Got an update from Adam Kilgore from The Globe. He says several injured Patriots walked through the locker room today, including Jarvis Green, Matt Light, Sammy Morris, and Stephen Neal. Here's a quick rundown. Morris said that Sunday he was, for the most part, a game-time decision. He said his knee, which has kept him sidelined since he left the Titans game in Week 6, should be feeling better than it did last week. Well, it's only been a couple days, Morris said, but I think so. It's about the same. Just take it as it comes, and I'll know as the week goes. So that's Green has missed 3 games since undergoing arthroscopic surgery on his knee during the Patriots bye week. He was questionable for the Jets game last Sunday and is optimistic about his return. He said he's been most busy sorting through ticket requests. Green, who is from Donaldsville, Louisiana, played at LSU and has never played in New Orleans as a pro. So he'd probably want to get back on the field for this game. I would think it's special for everybody to go back home and play, Green said. Light offered no update as he walked into the trainer's room, aside from wishing one reporter a happy Thanksgiving. And Patrick Chung, who left the game Sunday with a head injury before returning, said he plans on playing Monday night. It's not a question, Chung said.
Does anybody have
And then he goes, what's the question?
Does anybody have any idea what Sammy Morris said with that quote? The knee should have been feeling better than it did.
Right.
I have no idea.
It was a game-time decision for the most part.
For the most part, which means it wasn't. If there was any part that wasn't a game-time decision, then it wasn't.
I have no idea what he just said.
My spotter on Sunday did not see him out early working out, which is usually the game-time decision. You go out in the field and the trainers watch you. My spotter didn't see him, I think.
Was he looking?
So
he may have seen him and just decided to keep it to himself.
Captain Morgan.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is
the
email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Salim writes in, he says, just going to correct you on an omission in yesterday's show. You guys said there was one 10-0 combination. Actually, in 1934, the Bears and Lions
told you.
Both were 10-0.
It wasn't my research. It was his.
The Bears went on to be 13-0.
I mine was from 1966 to present.
Right. Ours was just from 66 to the present. So.
I knew, though, it was a Bears undefeated something.
So the Bears and the Lions.
The Bears are always the answer to one of those.
Let's see. Email comes
in. They had
in.
To be undefeated. There were no other teams.
The world, what was it called? The AAFL?
Not that league. That was the NFL. Oh. Cleveland used to dominate the AAFC, All-American Football Conference.
James from Brisbane writes in, just listening to yesterday's show when you were talking about increasing roster limits. I think the league will agree to have more players on the roster and more game day players too, maybe 55. I saw Pat Curlin on NFL.com saying he feels the ideal number is 58 in the roster with 54 active on game day and no third quarterback. I'm very much on board with the idea of having an in-season IR where you can shelve a player for 4, 6, or 8 weeks depending on the injury he has, and he doesn't count towards the roster, so a replacement can be signed. To save the accrued season issue, you can designate a player as a short-term injury replacement, and unless he is kept on as a full-time player, after the short-term contract runs out, the games don't count. Maybe also when their short-term contract runs out, the team they're on has first crack at signing them full-time, even if it's just for a day or two head start. We have this type of system in the A-League, our equivalent of the MLS, where players can be signed as injury replacements outside the salary cap, and it's worked really well. My team's unearthed a great right back this year when we lost our starter to a groin injury. Don't worry, Andy. I giggle at the word groin, too. Anyway, have a great Thanksgiving and an even better time down in New Orleans.
Good stuff.
All I can say is, oy vey, if they put in all these new rules and 14-day contracts and then... Oh.
I do think there are some probably simple solutions to some of the financial aspects of it. Like, we're, you know, just what he's talked about. If you have a guy that's on the short-term DL, you know, for lack of a better term, maybe you, there's differences in the amount of money you owe him going forward.
Right.
I don't think the one thing I would say I disagree is that the long, like the 8 week thing, I think that's too long.
Yeah, that's half a season for.
I think it's like a 4 week kind of a window, and then if a guy, you know, like say a guy gets hurt, like Fred Taylor early in the year was what, 3rd week, 4th week maybe.
Atlanta.
And you think he's going to be out for a while? Well, you get to put him on the DL for 4 weeks. And replace them, but then you have to make a decision. Now you have a whole month's worth of information, you know, about his recovery. If you think he's going to be ready in 3 more weeks, well, you have to bite the bullet, put him back on your roster, and wait the 3 more weeks, or put him on IR for the season
right.
if you want to replace him. I think 8 weeks might be too long.
Are all these things, would they have to be included? I mean,
well,
54-man rosters, new injury lists. I mean, couldn't you kind of do some of them? You know,
well,
implement
the whole thing was.
Yeah, I agree.
The whole thing, you know, we started this by, you know, what happens if they increase the games? How do you work?
No, I know,
out?
But yeah. I think you don't necessarily have to do all of these all at once.
Yeah.
Small
but what
steps.
You have to do is you have to look at it from how do people, you know, exploit the system and then
right.
work from at that end. How are the people going to find loopholes and really exploit this, hoard players, things
that's
like that, and try to work it from that
this
angle.
Is going to sound like a shot because you'll get mad at me, but I think the league should hire, like, Bill to do that, honestly.
Well,
I think he's one of the smartest men in the league at doing that, and ask him, what are you – now, he might
well,
not want to tell because
like
he
the
wants –
looks like the FBI hires a hacker.
Right. So, that's what you need. You need Ernie Adams and Bill Belichick figuring out how they can find a loophole.
What's
right.
the best way
– maybe the 49ers if it's contract-related back in the 90s. Yeah.
What's the best way to structure the roster, you know, so you get one of those half-hour answers from Bill – about the act, you know, the practice squad and the active roster and the 53
right.
and the 45 and all the different machinations that go into it.
Shanahan could probably do it too. He's unemployed right now, so he might be a better candidate.
Dana writes in from Gunnison, Colorado. He's
the tree counter.
Right? He says, I listened to
very
the podcast
nice.
Of last You're Thursday's bad, Patriots playbook and must say Eric did a great job filling in for John. I'm actually thinking he should fill in permanently for him. Ooh. For someone who's never played football. I don't know how he does it. You all do such a good job. I just don't think I have any questions. Hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving, and let's hope the Patriots can actually finish a game.
Word.
You too, Dana. Thank you.
4,721,000 Oh, son of a...
We should
how many
mention,
times did Nicky yell at his wife for that?
Strippers reminds me that Lee Bodden was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Indeed.
Correct.
Strippers reminded me yesterday he stumbled upon a porn star that for a short period of time went by Andy Hart, A-N-D-I-H-E-A-R-T.
Oh.
Apparently she forget it.
Let's see.
She's
Matt,
fatter now.
Matt from Brooklyn sends a special request to Doc, so I'll let Doc deal with that.
Doc's on the phone.
We'll skip that.
A lot of emails.
Nathan from Southern California. Pardon my ignorance, he says, but what is the big advantage about having the second seed in the AFC? Obviously, the first seed gets the extra bye week. However, does getting a second give us much of an advantage?
Yes, you get a week off.
You get the same bye week that the first seed
You don't have to play that first week.
You get everything except
home field.
Throughout.
And you're the first alternate for home field. If right. one gets knocked off, you're next.
The only time you wouldn't play at home is if you play the one right. seed.
In the AFC Championship.
Right. You get all the benefits are basically similar.
All right. So as promised, on the phone right now is ESPN analyst and, of course, Patriots future Hall of Famer. I'll say it now. Teddy Bruschi. Teddy, how you doing?
Guys, I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you.
It is good to talk to you. And, you know, we're here, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, myself. And first of all, congratulations on your new gig. And
thanks. I sort of needed a job, didn't I?
You know, and I know it's going to sound like I'm blowing smoke up your ass, but from day
That's what
one.
You do.
Well, no, but from day one, Teddy, you have taken on, you've taken on this job so naturally. Is it just me, or you just feel so comfortable doing it?
Well, thanks, guys. I mean, they sort of threw me into the fire that Thursday night, that opening game versus the Titans and the Steelers, and it's like, okay, where do I look? What do I say? Who do I? And it was sort of chaotic, but I just try to get through the best I can, and you know, with every sort of time that I was on, I got a little bit more comfortable, and yes, I do feel a lot more comfortable doing it now.
Well, you looked like that from day one, I have to say.
Okay,
I was amazed.
Thank you.
I saw the first one that night that you're talking about, Teddy, and I came in the next day and I was talking to Andy, and I said, son of a bitch, not only he's like a 13-year all-pro linebacker, but he's got to be better at this stuff than us, too.
No,
it was unbelievable.
I'm just trying. That's all I'm doing.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, guys.
Let's talk some football. Before I ask you about the Saints game coming up, I need to go back to this Colts game.
All right.
And, you know, we all heard what you said about, you know, being a championship-caliber defensive player. You would want that opportunity to get on the field, and I completely understand where you're coming from. After the game, we were talking about, okay, who on this defensive side of the ball in this team is going to be the, you know, the person that rallies these troops? You know, you're gone. Rodney's gone. Richard Seymour's gone. You know, Mike Vrabel's gone. From what you know of the guys in this locker room, you know, you played with Gerard for a year and you know Vince. Who do you think now is that guy that after that game said, you know what, let's move past this game. Let's go out and show what type of defense we are. Who do you think is that guy or guys now in the locker room?
Yeah, you know, a good thing is I think it's more than one guy. I think there are guys that are developing into that role. Of course, you know, Vince Wilfork is the guy there right now, and he's always been a vocal guy in that locker room. And you saw Gerard Mayo, his developmental process in terms of playing, being Rookie of the Year, and then being a leader on the team now. I think he's another guy, and I think someone that's going to sort of develop into that as time sort of goes on is going to be Brandon Merriweather as he matures as a player and gets more experience under his belt. The natural progression is, you know, you learn what you're doing, you start making big plays, you're looked at as sort of a leader on that defense to sort of make big plays, and then you become that vocal leader because you have that confidence that, you know, I've done all this and I've put in my time now. I think I need to take it to the next level.
Right. So, you know, during that game, you know, the situation comes up. And, you know, again, you mentioned, boy, I would have loved to have that opportunity. Knowing your relationship with Bill at the time on the sideline, would you have said something right then and there, or would you have just ate it and not said anything? Or how would you have handled that? You know,
that's a tough question. That's a tough question because always – I mean, I've always had guys along with me. I mean, when the offense is usually doing what they have to do, the defense is back making adjustments and trying to get better for the next series if they're out there looking ahead. So, I mean, when I was there, you know, Rodney and Vrabel and I would always sort of have a game-time situation. But to answer that question, you'd have to be there on the sideline.
Yeah.
You'd have to be there. You'd have to know the sort of the feeling the defense was going through, the sort of emotional feeling of that team at that point. And that's a question I can't answer because I wasn't on that sideline, but myself and Vrabes, I mean, that's things that we've told Bill before, you know, to his face, sort of on the sideline, or whether it's in a captain's meeting, because you can go up to Coach Belichick and say, hey, Bill, this is what I thought should have been done. What do you think about it? And you know, it's just that I'm not there to say that anymore. I sort of say it through a different avenue.
Right, right.
You know, obviously, you watch this defense sort of mature, for lack of a better word. There's so many new guys, so many new parts. What is your overall impression of this defense through 10 games?
Right now I see them, you know, front seven-wise, I see incredible flexibility. The way they've been able to go in from the 4-3 front to the 3-4 front, Tully Bantakane, whether he's an edge, is sort of a down lineman in 4-3 or he's an outside linebacker, this flexibility, this position flexibility can give opposing offenses a lot of headaches. That's what I see front seven-wise, and they've been excelling at that. So you've got to sort of understand the intelligence that has to have sort of come with that when you're playing different fronts and different schemes. So, you know, from down to down, those players have to be studying and doing their film work to be able to make those adjustments. So front seven-wise, I think it's a very smart front seven to be able to handle those adjustments. In the back end, I mean, you guys have seen it too—the development of this young secondary.
Yeah.
Who knew Brandon McGowan was going to be the player for the Patriots that he is right now? I think he's probably one of the hardest hitting players that the Patriots have. I mean, in terms of forcing turnovers, forcing fumbles, and you also see the development of Merriweather. I talked about it. I mean, the more plays he makes, the more confidence he's going to get, and then he's going to even start taking a little bit more chances where trusting that film work, trusting his instincts, getting better on that field, and also the young corners. I mean, Lee Bodden, of course, had a big game last week with the three picks, but I think Will Height is there. Will Height is in position all the time with those plays, and whether it's just that extra technique he has to learn of turning his head at the right time or throwing his hand in between the pocket of the receiver's hands, sort of a term that we use, whether those techniques, as he starts to learn those, he's highly athletic, he has the ability, I think he's also going to be a player that the Patriots fans will enjoy watching also. So this defense has developed tremendously over the course of the year.
Teddy, obviously everyone in that defensive meeting room is facing the biggest challenge of the season this year against the Saints, and you just touched on pretty much all the players and the development of the unit, and we all know, you know, Bill is a quote-unquote defensive genius, but as a guy that's in that meeting room, that locker room, can you give us a feel for what Dean Pease as the coordinator brings to the table and how much of a player he is in deciding how they're going to, you know, attack the Saints and how they're going to try to stop that offense and what he does on a week-to-week basis?
Oh, well, he's a huge player, first of all. I mean, you know, Belichick is a defensive coach, but Pease, Belichick, I mean, Pease is the defensive coordinator. He calls the defenses. He makes up the defenses, the schemes, and of course, Bill Belichick has his little stamp on it. But Pease is the coordinator. He pulls the trigger. He was always someone up there that we respected. Everything that came out of his mouth, the guys listened to. He isn't that younger type of defensive coordinator. A lot of guys out there in the league are the younger, the fresh new face on the block. He's been around the block, and we know that. And what he does also emotionally for that defense, he adds sort of his life experiences to the way he calls defense and the way he sort of used to tell the defense on how they should approach week in, week out their job. So Pease is sort of that calming influence in front of everybody that you know he's going to do the right thing in the game.
Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on how they might defend this high-powered offense this week, the Saints.
Yeah, where do you start? I mean, seriously, where do you start? I think Bill said in his press conference today, oh, they got like 18 different players that have scored touchdowns or something like that.
That's
you know,
a good
you
Bill.
Heard him. Yeah. But seriously, I think you start with the running game because, I mean, it's easy to get sort of caught up in the smoke screen of Drew Brees and Marcus Colston and DeVree Henderson, Jeremy Shockey. But when you look at Mike Bell, Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush running the ball, if you can't stop the run first, then you're not going to win the game because the running game is setting up their play action where they take their shots down the field and they really trust those running backs to establish sort of a physical presence. That's the first thing they have to do is stop that trio of running backs from running wild in the Superdome on Monday night. I mean, of course, you get down in the red area, you got a double Shockey. He's probably a huge red area threat. I know they're focusing on. And another thing, if you sort of listen to Bill's comments, the first thing he said about that Saint defense was that they turned the ball over well, and that's big because this defense is an opportunistic defense. The defense turns offensive. I think they've scored at least 7 defensive touchdowns. So I think ball security for the New England Patriots is going to be huge this week. I mean, we've seen some problems with fumbles and things like that. But I know they're stressing that this week. You got from quarterback to center exchange, from the quarterback throw to the receiver, taking care of that ball, not giving the Saints a short field with turnovers.
Something else that Bill stretches every season, every week, is playing 60 minutes. And it seems like that's been a little bit of a problem for this team this year.
Yeah.
Second halves have cost them victories. They've lost games because of it. What do you make of that, and what do you think they can do to improve those second halves?
Well, if anything, 2 weeks ago can be looked at now, as you look back at it on the whole fourth quarter sort of falling apart and giving up that lead, is that I think we all should have confidence that won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
That won't happen again. These coaches, I mean, Bill means it when you got to coach better and you got to play better. And when you have that sort of situation, you learn from it as coaches also, that not to have that disorganization at the end of the game. Put things together. Make sure you're stronger in the fourth quarter. They'll learn from that situation in Indianapolis. And I do not see something like that happening twice in 3 weeks.
Teddy, my last question. I saw you on ESPNBoston.com this morning talking about, you know, the pressures that go with, you know, being an undefeated team. And, you know, as a pro, you want that pressure. You know, you want that chance to do it. But, you know, having been through it before, can that be a factor for the Saints this week? And can it be a negative factor? You know, is there a way to not be able to handle that, I guess I'm saying?
There is a wrong way to handle it, but I think that the Saints have two things going for them in terms of being able to handle it well. Is they're a mature football team, I think. You start with the mentality of the head coach and the quarterback. You look at them. They say the right things. They approach the game the right way. What they know is this, 10-0 is too early. It's too early. You got a month and a half of football left. You got six games coming up. You know you got a long way to go. When we were undefeated in 07, and it got to 14-0 and 15-0, that's when it came. It felt like there was a huge weight on your back because it sort of consumes you because you realize you're at the finish line now in terms of regular season. Man, we can actually do this. And you start thinking about it a little bit, but not till late. Yeah. Not till late when it's right there in front of you. I think the other thing they got going for them is that how can you overlook the New England Patriots this week? You can't. You can't. They're playing great football. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the league. So you don't go talking about being undefeated when you got the Patriots coming up on Monday night.
Well, Teddy, I know when you were playing and we asked you these kinds of questions, you guys always did a great job of sort of deflecting them. But and I've noticed that you're much more open about, you know, the feelings that you guys had. Does that come into play at all? You're going against a team that is 10-0, and you got the Patriots just accomplished this, you know, 2 years ago. Does that play in at all? Like, you really want to knock them off? And I think that's why maybe it was a double stinger a couple of weeks ago losing in Indy. Not only you lost an important game, but you lost out a chance to knock them from the ranks of the unbeaten, and you certainly don't want anybody matching that feat so quickly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because the switch is sort of flipped now. You know, the Patriots have had two chances now. This is their second in the last 3 weeks to be the one that says, well, we knocked them off. You know, I mean, if any of the two teams, let's say the Colts or the Saints, hypothetically, they go all the way and they win it, okay? And let's say one of them has one loss. One of them, the Super Bowl champion, has one loss. You think about those teams before. I mean, everybody remembers who beat the 85 Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like 13 years old or something like that watching that game. I remember that, them going for undefeated, them being this team that everyone talked about. But now, you know, the Patriots have the chance to be that team. You know, let's knock off these undefeated teams, because you know what? The Patriots are the one that started it. You know, that's the motivation they can have for themselves to say, yeah, we're the one that knocked them off, and now we can go on our little Super Bowl run.
So, Teddy, we know the passion you brought to the field for so many years here, and you still obviously bring the passion even on TV when your blood's boiling. Are you competitive in this, in the media thing? I mean, do you watch Rodney and see what his analysis was of the Colts game and say, I should have said that, or I should have done my job better? Are you competitive in this media thing?
I don't know. I don't know about being competitive, but I think I just respect the job. I mean, I respect the job that everyone does. I mean, I'm in a different profession now, and I have to give it respect in terms of all the work that all of the analysts do, all the reporters do, and I'm sort of seeing it from the other side. But in terms of competition, I don't really see it like that. I think I'm approaching it the same way I approach football, just sort of making sure I'm prepared and doing my job the best I can possibly be, because this is it's not an easy job. That's what I've learned, and I learned that early on, that this is a tough profession to be a part of.
So 1 week at a time, one interview at a time.
Yeah. One analysis.
Next interview is the most important interview, most important analysis.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's take the games out, and then add in a new word. Yeah.
But there's no hat and T-shirt interviews. Like
there are no hat and T-shirt games.
All right. Well, Teddy, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope your whole family's doing great.
Guys. We miss you. Guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
We miss you here. Teddy. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Teddy.
Teddy Bruschi, ESPN Boston and ESPN. Nice of him to call in.
Yeah, yeah. And he's right. He does bring that same sort of intensity to, especially when he's talking about the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, and you can tell he it still matters so much to him.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. Even on a Bill Belichick coached team, Teddy admits in 07, week 15, week 14, they started to feel it.
They started to feel it.
And, you know, we've all, you know, speculated that, boy, what could it have been? You know, what could it have possibly felt like once you got to game 19? It had to be a factor. Mm-hmm.
Well, just remember the reaction.
It had to be a factor.
The reaction at the Meadowlands after the Giants game in that locker room was unlike any regular season game that I can really remember. Yeah. It was an enormous weight was lifted off their shoulders.
It was like I felt after I moved myself into my house without movers.
Yeah, just like that.
Moving right along.
How does that pop into your head?
I don't know.
No, the job's done, and it's like that weight off your shoulders.
Right. You know? Anyway, I thought the most interesting thing he said was learning from the defeat in Indy, and I believe he used the word disorganization on the sideline at the end there.
Yeah, and I agree with his premise.
Interesting.
I agree with his premise, too. Generally, when things happen, negative things happen, you don't see them twice.
Right.
And that's why the second half thing has me concerned. Because I know, you know, there's two things that have gone on this year that we've heard about previous weeks. One is, I know that Bill has stressed to the team, we need to go on the road and win a game.
Right.
And they haven't done it. And two is, and I haven't heard this as much among the players until now, but I'm sure that it's been addressed, we need to go out and have a good second half. Tom kind of alluded to it in Tampa, in London against Tampa, when they opened the second half with a nice touchdown drive. Mm-hmm. He was very excited about that. But we're still seeing signs of those things. That's why those two things have been concerns to me, because generally, like Teddy said, that's a one-time thing. When something bad happens, you don't see it again. We've seen these couple of things happen multiple times.
You know, another interesting thing, Paul, you asked about Dean Pease. What is his involvement?
Andy asked about Dean Pease.
He's unbelievable.
One of you guys.
I think it was Eric, actually. It was a good question.
What is his involvement?
Teddy said, you know, he's absolutely the defensive coordinator. But the thing is, on game day now, he's up in the booth. Right. When it comes to adjustments, I'm sure he has input, but it's Bill on the sideline talking to these guys.
And Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Let's not forget him. He's pretty involved for a young coach.
And Andy asked Bill about this about a month ago. I think part of the reason that Dean's upstairs is the stuff that he's talking about with all these changes. They've used a ton of personnel on defense this year, and especially against offenses like Indy with the no huddle and that stuff. And this week, just New Orleans is constantly trying to match you up.
Yeah.
I think you need to have an eye in the sky there.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say, this isn't regarding what we talked about with Teddy, but what the Patriots have to go up against this week is, I think, you know, I haven't been there since they redid the dome. I'm assuming it's still the same inside, but that's a louder place than Lucas Oil.
Well, because it's the old school dome.
Yeah.
It's that reverberation down back onto the field.
Because I remember playing there when it wasn't even sold out, and the Patriots ended up winning in overtime, I think. I think they
won on the last second field goal.
Yeah, last second field, Vinatieri.
30-27.
That was louder than Lucas Oil. It wasn't even a full stadium.
Right.
So.
Yes. They face a lot of challenges. I think the defense faces a huge amount of challenges, communication, but not just the noise, communicating what the hell the Saints are doing, who's on the field, what our responsibilities are. I think they've done a pretty good job of that this year, you know, observing from afar. I don't know how many times they haven't been on the same page, but it's looked like they've done a good job despite, you know, all the personnel up front, Banta King, all these linebackers in and out, 3-4, 4-3. Nickel. Yeah,
they have taken,
but it's a different week this week.
Yeah, and they have taken, I agree with Andy, I think they've done a really good job of it, but we have seen them have to take some timeouts on defense.
But,
you know, and I think
you're
going to
have that with the young players.
Exactly. And you're dealing
I'm
with
I'm talking about on 16, the field not even knowing to take the timeout, and we get caught with our pants down and somebody goes 80.
16, 17, 18 players, I think, have regularly contributed to that defense, and probably more if you count guys who have done it. You know, guys like Sean Springs and James Sanders, who really haven't been active in the game plans lately, but have during the course of the season. It's probably even a higher number.
All right. Well, that was great, Teddy, calling in. Today is Wednesday. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, of course, because it's Thanksgiving. So we have to do our picks today in about 15 minutes
or so. We have
to do
our picks today?
Just want to make sure people know that.
Yeah, we'll wait till Eric comes in. He'll give us a practice update, and then we can get into that.
All right, so let's get back to I tell you, though, it is amazing. I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke up his ass.
He's very good.
Very natural. It's just natural.
I think I am attracted to him as an analyst because every time he says something, it's something we've already said. And he feels like he's backing us up on half. Paul and I the other day had a long discussion about Will Height. He's very near Leonard Myers territory where he's always there but doesn't make the play that needs to be made.
Right.
And he just brought that up. He's really made me feel better about what we do as a show,
well,
as a paper.
Well, he even said, now I have a new respect
right.
for, you know.
Couldn't you have that respect 5 years ago?
I love Teddy Bruschi. I love
Nathan in Southern California. Did I already read this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you did. I remember hearing you say that.
Oh, I didn't finish it, though.
Teddy also interrupted you?
He said, also, do you think that we will beat out the Chargers and or Bengals to get the second seed?
Bengals, yes. Chargers, yes.
So the answer is yes.
The Bengals pooped themselves. They had their chance, and we all saw it coming.
Yep.
They are the Bengals. They can't deal with success.
And they lost to the Raiders.
Right. And they have I thought it might be the Browns because they have the chance to sweep their division. They're 5-0 right now. All they have left is the Browns.
Right.
I thought that might be the hiccup in the division. You kind of assume we can just show up and complete this thing and not do it. Came a little early because my boy, Gretkowski, Tom Brady, too, got it done.
Can I ask you a question on that?
No.
Sure.
Only because I was looking at the standings on NFL.com, and right now it has us as 4
mm-hmm.
behind San Diego and Cincy. But why? We have the same conference record, same record overall. How did they determine?
It could be common opponents.
We lost to Denver.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at it.
It was, a week ago we were 4th because we lost to Denver, because
right.
Denver was still
right.
ahead of that division.
But I think San Diego is 1-1 against Denver.
I don't know. I have to look at it.
I don't know. I haven't broken it down, so I don't have the answer.
Yeah. And Nathan's last question, as of now, do you guys have any predictions of which team will make it to the Super Bowl?
None.
You don't have any predictions?
If you had forced me to pick a team, the Vikings would be the team I would say is most likely to be in Miami.
Yeah, right now.
I'm not ready.
It's going to be whoever has the home game between the Vikings and Saints will go to the Super Bowl, and it'll be against us.
I think that is very, very possible. I'm part of my commentary this week is I have no idea this season. You know, it feels like post-November we should start to have an idea who the good teams are.
Yeah.
I don't really. I think the Vikings are in the conversation. I don't think the Saints are great, but they're undefeated, so you have to include them.
Colts.
In the AFC, I think it's the Patriots and Colts.
San Diego is playing.
Nope, I don't have San Diego because
I don't
trust
them. Good ball
History
now.
Tells yeah. me to not trust them.
Right.
And the now is that part.
Right.
The Giants were playing good ball
That's
now.
True. That's
the
true.
Steelers, for a two-week stretch, play good ball right. and then lose a bad game. Everybody in the league
no,
this year is too
the
inconsistent.
The only two teams that have been consistent, you know, either starting at a certain point and getting better or better throughout has in the AFC has been the Colts and the Patriots.
Right. And even the Patriots. We're talking about they can't finish games. They
right.
can't in the second half. They,
right.
No one is in that 14-2 mode of just easy rolling through. I include the Saints and the Colts there because they both played those games where you're a play away from losing.
I
know you make the play,
right.
but sooner or later maybe you don't. I just yeah. don't feel great that there's any of these elite teams out there.
Gary says, earlier today, I couldn't get Patriots Today to play properly, and now I can't get onto the website at all. Chris, I don't know what's going on. I know last night, around 10 o'clock, we had trouble with the site.
Ferreira
all of a sudden, in that homepage, you know, flash area, the news wasn't feeding in, and there was something wrong, and so we scrambled. We had it fixed in like 20 minutes, but something weird is going on. I don't know if it's...
Chris?
I don't think it's Chris.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
But we're on it, guys.
Are we? We've been in a ticket to Apple. What did it say?
Where'd you go, Paul?
I went to the bathroom.
Oh.
I had a tinkle.
Did you? Good. Let's see. Brian writes in, the Saints have speed at wide receiver, but they're not good route runners across the board. Lance Moore, along with Colston, run the best routes. Moore, of course, is out of the lineup, so that leaves them with Henderson and Meacham running like hell down the field. That would seem to match up better with the Pats' defensive secondary.
Is Moore out? Because he was a game-time decision last week from what I read.
Yeah,
for the most part.
We'll have to see.
For the most part.
The Saints have injuries at defensive tackle and in their secondary. I don't think Randall Gay or Moss or Welker scares anybody. Oh, Randall Gay on Moss or Welker scares anybody.
That's totally true.
I'll
that's
tell you who it scares. Saints
yeah,
fans.
It scares Sean Payton is who it scares. And that is where the Patriots, if they win the game, that's where they'll win it, is taking advantage, much like they did against Indy, of a very banged-up secondary.
And the Pats will have to be leery of Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the one thing Teddy talked about, how good they were running the ball. Yeah. And
he started with Bell, didn't he?
Bell, yeah.
I like to note when people, how they kind of order those types of, when there's a committee, mm-hmm. who pops in first, and he started with Bell.
I was wondering, you know, just schematically, if the Patriots have what it takes to, because let's face it, they can't devote extra attention to stop the run. Otherwise, that's playing suicide. I think they're going to have five defensive backs minimum in the game at all times, and they'll be playing back, not like a Merriweather hanging out at the line of scrimmage, five defensive backs.
They have to play a traditional base defense on first, second down.
They may have to play a nickel defense on
with
first
McGowan
and second.
And then hope the nickel guy supports the run?
Well, that's McGowan, that hybrid role. Yeah. You need to be in the run and
so
the pass.
So he's going to be like that linebacker.
Yeah.
Like,
you got a tough job today.
Against the Jets this week, yeah. Freddie, they stacked the box and said, you're not going to run the ball against us in the first half.
Right.
That they had eight. There was one play that I remember I was pointing out to you guys, they literally had nine guys in the box and one safety and one guy out wide as a corner. All the other nine guys were within, I would say, 2 or 3 yards of the line of scrimmage and inside the tight ends. You're not going to run against that.
Yeah.
And the Patriots can't afford to do that to stop the run this week.
Right.
Otherwise, you really open yourself up to big plays. So that's what I wonder. I know Wilfork can do it. I know, you know, Ty Warren can do it. I know Mayo can do it. But, you know, I wonder about some of the other guys. If there's only six of them, if it's Mike Wright and Gary Guyton and Tully Bantakane, for example, I have some concerns.
Well, Brian says, really, the Patriots should win this game.
I agree, Brian.
Sean says, Fred, no pass rush against a good quarterback equals no win. I'm worried.
That's what Fred says. That's what Fred's worried about.
Yeah. I'm worried, too.
And he's a tough guy to get a lot of pressure on as well.
Jonas from Durham. Is this the same Jonas that called in? He says, what's going on with the podcast this week? The downloads are on the blink. Oh, well, anyway, could you increase the volume of PFW in progress?
Before I put him on the air.
So this is the same guy.
Yeah, this is all set. You can blow this email off.
All right, I'm going to blow it off then.
After spinning.
And I'll move on to the next one.
A lot of emails.
Paulie in L.A. says, stupid, I know, but now that Weiss's future is sketchy at best, any thoughts if Weiss or Crennel return?
I'll say the same as always. Crennel, sure. Weiss, no.
We have a defensive end, we got two tight ends, and we don't touch the motherfucker.
Fred wants to bring Charlie Weiss in as the defensive coordinator.
I still don't really get that theory.
Just wanted to give your theory some exposure.
I said that sometimes when you spend so much time on offense coordinating against defenses, it also gives you a good insight into defenses, and maybe he'd want to try defensive coordinator.
It's part of the whole Josh McDaniels is great story.
Right.
He can do it all.
Right. That's weird, wacky, wild
stuff. I have no
interest
in bringing Weiss back.
No, I don't want Charlie Weiss back either. But
I'm not sure that Romeo is ready to come back either.
I don't think so either.
He's a little older.
And also, sounds like Teddy kind of paints Dean Pease as Romeo. In a lot of the ways, the calming force, the life guy, the emotion, just everything.
I like that part. You know, a lot of times he relates his life experiences to the
piano.
Ding, 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 ding. It's like Eric.
I have.
No wonder why Eric and Dean Pease get along so well.
I'm waiting.
I have no formal artistic training.
There we go.
I'm waiting.
Matt from Quincy, I know we're off the Jets, but I didn't get a chance to email yesterday. Two things. First of all, Donald Strickland is the epitome of what the Jets are becoming under Rex Ryan, which is a group of whiny underachievers who are happy to take any excuse to lose. A cheap shot? I don't think so, but it's a lot easier than admitting you got owned. You think that was a cheap shot?
LaVore.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I don't think it was a cheap shot.
Unnecessary roughness. It's the definition.
I think that
was
one of those.
I want.
It was a sucker shot that didn't have to be used
like
that.
It was a screenplay. Your job is to get rid of him.
Your job is to make sure that guy doesn't make the tackle. He wasn't looking. There was no way he could make the tackle. All you had to do was be in his way. It was very similar to the Hines Ward hit on Keith Rivers, which also wasn't a cheap shot, but has been legislated as a hit that the NFL is trying to get out of the game.
I can't believe you guys are all against all the rules they're making on the quarterback roughing, and you say that they shouldn't be doing
it. Because that's my point.
No.
This was helmet-to-helmet contact on a defenseless, blindsided player.
And I don't
think
it was helmet-to-helmet either.
If you want to start strip this all back,
yeah,
I think they're all fine.
I agree. But in the league you play in,
I'm operating
this falls under
what they're
protecting some
every summer
and not others.
Yeah.
This is what they're telling us. This is what they're talking to us about. If every summer when the officials come here and we watch that video, these are the hits they're showing us.
Well, as Andy
and if you're asking me, do I think anything should be penalties?
Well,
no.
Well, let's see what they say.
That was
about
a clean hit.
But as Andy said yesterday, you're not a defenseless player if your head's not on a swivel. That's your fault. That doesn't make you defenseless. That just makes you unaware. Yeah.
Again, if you're asking me, do I think in a vacuum that there was anything wrong with that hit? No.
But you're protecting quarterbacks and running backs and receivers from all these
things.
Now
we have to protect guys going down the field.
Now we have to protect defensive guys, too.
And much like I hate it when a receiver is reaching for a pass over the middle and gets his light switched lowered and they call a penalty.
Can't pick and choose
who you protect.
Why are you defenseless? That's
right.
Now, the guy's an idiot for saying, basically, he's coming after Mark Lavore if they ever play.
Here's where I totally agree with Matt. I think Matt and Quincy it was.
Yeah.
That's all the Jets of all of a sudden, you know, it was great and funny when you were yapping your brains out and winning, but now that you're yapping your brains out and losing, the other teams are disrespecting you, like we talked about yesterday with Rex Ryan. Exactly.
I did not see a FedEx in Mark Lavore's locker today.
Yeah, I'm not sure he got fined. That doesn't mean he didn't, but we didn't see it like we have in the past.
Secondly, I saw something in the Jets game I've never seen before. On the second Bodden pick, Sanchez took the snap and dropped back and faked a handoff to no one.
To the wrong way, yeah.
Yeah, he went the wrong way. I don't know if you guys notice it or if you have seen it before, but it just shows how lost Sanchez is at this point. Could have been the running back going to the wrong side, but yeah, I remember he dropped back, handed the ball off. The running back was on the other side of him.
He also has a funny play-action style to begin with that is not necessarily effective, I don't think.
Well, he's very thin calves. It makes it look funny.
Notice that stuff.
We're trying to break down football, and he's over there with just his stupid little jokes.
Eric, that's not a joke. He has thin calves. Eric's here. How you doing, Eric?
Good,
Fred. How are you?
Good.
Contrary to some published reports.
Is that a crew neck?
A gray crew neck.
Yeah. Charcoal gray.
You have a lot of sweaters, because I haven't seen you wear the same sweater in like a month.
Are you trying?
No, I'm not trying, but I know it. I know it does get under his skin.
No, I mean to wear a different one every day.
Well, you don't wear the same sweater 2 days in a row.
Thanks.
No, you haven't worn them
the same anything 2 days in a row.
You really are trying
to
get
Fred
to
wears pants for like a week and a half.
I do wear. I wear the same pair of pants for four days.
The record was 4 days.
At most four days. At most 4 days.
Yeah. Unless I've spilled something.
So getting back to the
Bills.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting back to the Bills, you guys were talking. I mean, Holmgren rejected their overtures, NFL.com said. But Shanahan did meet with them for 7 hours. Did anything come of that?
I don't know. 7 hours he met with the Bills?
That's what it said.
Oh, yeah. Why bother? And Ralph Wilson didn't really understand. It was a complicated
proposal. And
there's that
accidental high five again from
Young. It was 7 hours of, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, why not? I'm not going to do
it. Are you sure you want to commit? No, I don't want to do that. Where's the sun?
We'll give you a
Where did the sun go? It's noontime. Where's the sun?
All right, Eric, why don't you give us the practice update?
Okay, we were inside the field house preparing for the loudness of the New Orleans Superdome, also because it's a little inclement out there today. Shorts and shells for some of the guys. So no big hitting. 10 people missing, kind of expected, though, because they have an extra day to practice this week, and a lot of guys got banged up in the game the other day. Numerically, Edelman, Taylor, Chung, Ninkovich, Woods, and then more substantial, Wilfork, Vollmer, Kasher, Moss, as usual on Wednesday, and Brace. So a total of 10 guys not there.
Brace.
I don't believe they're practicing tomorrow.
No one cuts ties like he does, I'll tell you.
Because they have the Saturday practice because of the Monday night game. So Steve Neal,
no injury report later, as you said?
No, I'm saying they won't practice tomorrow.
I don't think they have the extra day. No, they won't. I don't think they'll do it.
Steve Neal was back on the field, though, which was encouraging news for him. And five guys had black practice shirts.
Rob Myers.
Thomas was one.
Thomas
Williams was two.
Kyle Arrington.
He did not, but he had the belt. I think the belt guy doesn't get
supersedes
the jersey.
It's like being NFL MVP and Offensive Player of the Year.
Right.
Where we always not do both.
Wendell and Richard.
Daryl
Richard. And Brian Hoyer. So those are the five.
Hoyer.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job these days.
So there you go.
He actually wore a Peyton Manning jersey?
What?
He actually wore a real Peyton Manning jersey for the Colts week.
He borrowed it from Jeff Fisher.
Oh,
Okay. Oh, I see what you did there.
Just wanted to feel well like done. A winner for one day.
Good job, Paul.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. Actually, we need to go around the NFL now.
After we take a break.
But first, Doc is saying we need to take a break for some reason. All right, we'll take a break.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shape, serving Trace.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. It's Wednesday,
which
the
means
day before Thanksgiving, so we're forced to go around the NFL. This year, this is my least enjoyable part of the week because I'm doing crap. Paul, what did we do last week?
You continue to do crap, as you so eloquently put it. Andy and Eric went 13-3. Woo! I went 12-4. Fred went 10-6. With the spread, it was Eric at 9-7, Paul and Andy at 7-9, and Fred 4-12. So,
that chin's got to be starting hurting now.
Taking it.
How's the marathon? Is there a new leader in the marathon?
Yeah, weren't you already last week? You are 111. Eric,
Ethiopian, is out front.
Oh. Eric is 111-49. Andy is 109-51.
Kenyan coming.
Paul's 105-55.
Fat guy.
Eric is 96. I mean, sorry. Fred is 96-64.
Fat guy in a wheelchair.
With the spread, Eric maintains his lead, 88-71-1. I am 83-76-1. Andy's 81-78-1, and Fred is 69-90-1.
Wow. Fat guy in a wheelchair with a flat tire.
69.
11 games
anyone
under.
In a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's terrible. terrible year.
What was that?
He's lost it since the break. Look at him. He's slouched over in the chair. Drool coming out of the side of his mouth.
Awful. Awful.
What happened?
Is that drool? I'm losing to the lonely kicker.
All right, we have a slate of terrible,
feather
games.
Sweater feather. No, that was kind of funny.
terrible games for the at least the
Thanksgiving is
afternoon part of Thanksgiving. Boy. A decent matchup for the night one, but
maybe
Green Bay at Detroit will
couldn't
kick
get
us
any
off.
Worse. Could That's not get any worse,
especially if Stafford and
Stafford
and Johnson,
Calvin Johnson don't play.
Oh, couldn't get
Calvin
any worse.
Johnson too.
Yeah, he might not. He might not play.
But the Lions are getting 10.5 at home.
I'll take
Boring.
The Packers. They'll put up big fraudulent numbers against the Lions because they're the biggest fraudulent team on the planet.
Yeah, I agree. You take Green Bay both ways.
Well, yeah, I didn't know. I'm glad you guys told me about that Calvin Johnson thing because I was going to take the
he
point.
He missed practice.
He missed the practice.
I don't know what the sure.
I mean,
if Stafford doesn't play,
I bet you he doesn't play.
I will take Green Bay as well. Did you happen to see Deshaun Jackson when he caught a bomb Sunday night and he went to do the thing? And I don't think he has. He's a pretty small
guy. He's a short
guy,
yeah.
But he did a little finger roll because he couldn't
dunk it.
That's what
I would do.
Like the Iceman.
But I'll take the Packers.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers, but I'll take Detroit to cover. You know, put an effort up on Thanksgiving.
You know, fall further behind in the picks.
No, that was going to be my theory, but if they're going to be missing the quarterback and the receiver, I don't know.
Schwartzy's all
close.
Over it. I heard him talking about, you know, the honor and the history, and I was listening on your thing about that.
Yeah.
Getting them all fired up.
He's a good coach, I think. I think they'll be all right.
Out.
I think we'll be all right with him.
All right,
it'll all be based on how Matthew Stafford develops.
The other dreadful matchup on Thanksgiving Day is Oakland at Dallas, where the Cowboys are favored by 13.5, and Andy had the good point about this one. At least if Jamarcus Russell were playing, you'd have reason, like
right.
a morbid
like
curiosity.
A car wreck. You're looking
wreck.
For that car yeah. crash.
They got you know? This new guy, though.
Yeah. TB2, who's also going to complete 48% of his passes like he did last week.
But he'll win doing it.
But he might
He's a winner.
He's not going to win.
13.5.
TB2.
I don't know. You don't think Oakland coming off that big win last week might do something against the Cowboys? No. Can't score either.
We'll see who's picking.
Cowboys on Thanksgiving? Hells no.
Andy.
How many points?
13.5.
I will take
That's
the Cowboys to win, and I will take them to cover. I think Bruce Gradkowski is going to take the Cowboys in this one, and that could have an effect.
I'll definitely take
Toledo ties.
Definitely take Dallas to win the game. 13, you said?
13.5.
And a half? I don't think they're that good, though, the Cowboys, so I'll take the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys to roll. I think the Raiders have won games, you know, individually here and there over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, and they follow it up with a dreadful performance. And
yeah.
They'll do it on Thanksgiving.
I'm going to go with the upset. Oakland wins the game.
Oh,
boy. Wins the game.
Have we reached
That's a sign of a desperate
the
man
point
right
where
there.
He's trying to pick up games.
Yes.
We've reached the point of the season where Fred says, I'm 30 games back, and I can't win by just matching their picks.
No,
he's
going
to Riverside
every single pick.
No, I'm not. I'm going to pick. I want to go and watch this game and really be rooting for a team. And so I'm going to root hard for the Oakland Raiders.
I certainly
root for the underdog.
I certainly will be rooting for the Raiders in this game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hate the Raiders. But
if Jamarcus Russell were playing, I wouldn't be rooting for him because I don't like him.
Douche.
Tryptophan will have kicked in at that point. He'll be asleep
on
the couch.
Yeah,
I like listening.
Or on the toilet.
I like
one or the other for me. Your house.
I like listening to the Sirius because it's so many Steeler and Cowboy fans. After one of them, they lose. It's like, you know,
terrible.
It's like
don't listen to him. We listened on the way back to that, the Sirius NFL, whatever, and they actually said, they're talking to a Steelers fan, and he's been on for at least 10 minutes already, and Pat Kerwin or one of the, so tell us, Joe, what's going on with Lamar Woodley this year? They're asking the listeners questions to analyze the team.
Oh, for God's
sake. It's terrible. Of course, he flips over to Howard Stern, which I also think is equally bad. And what is it again?
Howard Stern.
What is it again, Fred?
No, they had Bruno.
It's gay penis talk,
Bruno
as it always
studio.
Is.
That's
it's
why.
It's the most homosexual listening on the planet.
They had Bruno
like
in
then.
Studio.
Oh, Eric likes it.
I
what
just,
are you doing?
You go,
it's not okay for him to say it about me, so why is it not okay for me to say it about you?
It's not okay to say it about any of us.
All I said was you should like it.
Like what?
Oh, earlier, Eric.
Andy took another shot at me?
No, he threw down his headphones and walked out.
I did.
Yeah. Did you really?
It was very Eric-like.
It was very Eric-like. I went and got subs.
What happened? Oh,
I told him to stop yelling because he was screaming into the mic.
Andy and Fred started arguing, and then I got involved, and Andy was mad at me.
On Fred's side?
Well, I was on Fred's side a little bit.
Wow. They're picking the Saints.
And then Andy was yelling, which I don't care about because, you know, I yell all the time.
Sure.
And Fred goes, why are you yelling? And Andy just threw his headphones on and left.
Would you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
All right, we got to hurry.
The night game.
Yeah, we have. We only have 20 minutes.
The night game.
I still forgot there's a night game.
It's a reasonable matchup. Unfortunately, it's at night, and
two
I probably won't see a play.
Streak,
New
so.
York Giants at Denver. Broncos, a lot of the luster
game.
Off of Freddie's boys. 4 losses in a row, and they're getting 6.5 points at home.
Wow, that's
well, I
weird.
I think the Broncos own
yeah.
the Giants. No, I don't, really.
Well, they own the Chargers.
This is still Phil Simms, Jr.,
Well,
yeah, I think so.
I mean, Orton had to come in the game in the second quarter.
I know, but that can't be good.
And he actually, did you happen to see when he came in the game? He marched him right down the field, and what's his face? No Sean fumbled in the end zone.
Because that really makes a difference for me. I don't know who's playing. Do you have that?
I would say Orton's going to play.
Just take Denver. They're at home.
Let me see if NFL.com.
I'll take the Giants. Denver takes another step towards 8-8. The same 8-8 they were last year, right?
That's correct.
Well, they haven't won a similar style last year.
They haven't won their eighth game yet, so I'm going to take them to win this game.
Oh. Orton is they don't have statuses yet because the injury reports haven't come out yet. So,
Josh McDaniels comes from the school of Bill Belichick, it would be irrelevant anyway.
I am going to take the Giants to win the game, but I am going to take Denver to cover. 6.5.
Oh, I'm okay. They'll win by a touchdown.
I'll take the points. The Giants have a way of making games close. They don't always maximize their red zone opportunities. Their defense has been leaky with the lead, so I'll take the points.
I'll do the same thing. Giants to win, but cover.
Denver Broncos covers. Defense is leaky, too.
Broncos.com reports that Orton should be out there on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's like the Eric.
On Thursday? They're going to practice on Thanksgiving in Denver?
They're playing
oh, that's Thanksgiving night.
Unbelievable.
That quote was attributed to the head coach, Josh McDaniels.
This is why he's 69-90-1. Indianapolis.
Well, you know I don't like it when we get out of our routine. These weeks are very difficult.
You should like it because your routine is sucky this year.
I woke up this morning.
Sucky.
I woke up this morning.
Whoa.
John Rook.
I woke up this morning saying to myself, I got a 9 o'clock meeting, thinking it was Thursday of next week. Okay, so.
Just flat out lost
it. That's how.
100% gone.
That's how
I really got to punch up my resume because I got to be ready.
I got to add that BBC appearance. Right, Eric?
Why do you have to keep rubbing that in? You're a bad person.
No,
I'm a bad person.
BBC person.
All right. Indianapolis is at Houston.
That was well deserved. What?
Indianapolis is at Houston.
Indianapolis will beat Houston because
they're favored by 3.
Have to. Yes, they will win by 3 because not only are they playing against Peyton Manning, but they're playing against the entire league where officials are high-fiving the opponent every week. It's a tough to fight uphill battle when you fight in the officials.
What the hell are you talking about?
Vince Young high-fived the official at the end.
Took a knee, turned, and ran. And the guy claims he was just coming in to say end of game. Yeah. But he was already taking his hand down and brought his hand back up and actively high-fived Vince Young. Can you imagine if that happened around here?
Oh, God. Oh,
if the Patriots saw another team high-five the official going off the... Oh, my God.
Or just the opposite, if a Patriot high-fived an official.
Well, that would be great.
It's so
Patriots.
Ridiculous.
I meant from Patriots Nation, you know, the bitching and moaning. Everybody hates us. They're cheating against us.
Paul, I'm going to go with the upset here this week. Colts lose their first game of the season.
I will take the Colts.
I'm going to take Houston, too. Somebody's got to beat them.
Houston has given them trouble in the process. That's right.
The problem with Houston, though, is they look so dejected after that loss.
I know.
Well, I think that ended their playoff.
And I don't think that they're the type of team that builds on things like that. They're just, I don't know.
Mature.
I'm hoping they do, but, you know, we'll see.
All right, Cleveland is at Cincinnati, where they're probably going to have a nasty bunch of Bengals to deal with.
Bad kitty.
Bengals by 14.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
I said earlier I had circled the Browns game as the one that the Bengals were going to cough it up and fall on their face. Since they fell on their face a week earlier, I don't think it'll happen twice.
Right.
I will take the Bengals to win and cover.
Yep.
The Cleveland Browns stink.
Mark that for me too, Paul.
What's the Browns generally score 3 points. So
unless they play Detroit.
Right. So this week, what's the line? 13?
14.
14. So as soon as they get to 17.5, they win.
I also will take Cincinnati, and I'll lay the points. I think they'll be an angry group. They really, really coughed up a fur ball last week.
Who's out first, Mangini or Mangino?
Mangino,
because their season ends first.
It all depends if they let him coach the bowl game, though.
Yeah. I got to go with Cincinnati here.
They're not having a great year. They might not even be going to the bowl.
No, I don't think so.
Who do you have?
Cincinnati. I got to take them.
Why do you got to?
Just makes sense.
All right. Chicago.
Just makes dollars and cents.
Chicago at Minnesota.
Brett Favre.
Andy Hart's best team in football. The Vikings are favored by 10.5.
And they are a workmanlike team, businesslike. They take care of business each and every week. They're playing a bad Bears team with a bad franchise quarterback. Yep. They'll take care of business again. Boom!
Yeah, I hate to say it, but they're going to win again. And 10 points?
10.5.
Yeah. What the hell? I'll lay the points.
I am going to take the Vikings, but I think that's a lot of points. I'll take the points, see if Chicago can get a cheap cover on the other side. I don't think they'll have any threat whatsoever to win the game. Freddie, how come you don't make fun of the Vikings? They play every game at home.
They do. I don't understand how that works. I got to go with the Vikings here, too. The Bears.
You got it? Awful.
Bears, Cutler's on
Lovey,
something.
Lovey, out.
He's
no love for Lovey.
Yeah.
Fred thinks Cutler was actually drinking on the field while playing.
I think he might be. Him
little
and John
Bobby
Rook.
Lane action.
John Rook and Cutler.
Washington is
John
at.
John Rook and Cutler?
Oh, yeah. He also called out. I don't know if you were here. You might have been in your pout when you went and got the turkey sandwiches. Fred is openly saying that John Rook has been drinking a lot while on the show. And then finished it up by saying, and he's mainlining heroin, too. So.
What?
We were going to go drink. I forgot to tell you guys that.
Oh, my God.
Because John Rook suggested, I guess, one of our listeners, Anthony in Naples, was questioning John Rook, saying that John thinks the Patriots should tailor their offensive line to Maroney.
Oh, boy.
Change their offensive line, get quicker, smaller offensive linemen so they can better suit Maroney's running style, which, first of all, I think is wrong because they already have a quicker, smaller, athletic offensive lineman.
I don't think they can get much quicker and smaller and still compete in the year 2009.
But, you know, Fred and I were making the point that, you know, you have Adrian Peterson or Chris Johnson, maybe you worry about getting an offensive line that best suits his running style. Mm-hmm. When you have Lawrence Maroney, you know, you kind of make do with what you have. But
find a back that
Fred said, that's
line.
John Rook. He's been drinking a lot during the show. We apologize for that. And then he mainlines heroin. He's an
I started. Wow. I was going to disagree, but if he thinks they need to tailor the offense and the line to Maroney, maybe he has been sampling the goods.
So Washington is at Philadelphia, Andy.
So?
Eagles by 9.5.
I'll take the Eagles to win and cover with some big plays.
It's funny the way he said that. I'll take Philly as well. Washington, horrible. As horrible a team as you can get.
I saw their, defensive coordinator jump ship already to go to Memphis or Mississippi. Or
who was their defensive coordinator?
Jerry Gray.
Wow, I didn't see that.
The secondary coach, maybe.
Good, Jason.
I also
that was a guy jumping off a ship.
I got it. I will take the Eagles as well.
Fred's got to take the Eagles.
No, I'm taking the Eagles.
Fred took Washington last week.
Washington covers.
Oh, please.
Washington covers.
How?
NFC East game. You never know what can happen.
Oh, I do.
A big game here for Patriots fans, Miami at Buffalo.
We got to hurry.
Road, why? Road favorite is 3. Road favorite for Miami, 3 points.
Miami with the big move. They released Matt Roth. Be interesting to see if Bill makes a claim on him.
I actually meant to bring that up to Teddy.
There's something going on there.
Oh, yeah?
No one knows what it is, but a lot of he started the year on NFI with a groin injury and a forgot how it was a strange illness, and then
maybe he just can't play.
But no, there's also he's been active for 4 weeks, has 4 tackles, hasn't done much. But there's like every story has an allusion to there's got to be something more, and it's like they all kind of know but can't write it. So there's something going on.
They expect
there.
Him to be back in Miami next year, is what they're saying.
No. I mean like
his
something bad.
Over.
No. Bad. That career's over there. Something bad like.
Okay.
I don't know. He killed Parcells' dog or something, like an off-the-field, strange fight in a parking lot with Tony Sperano, something.
Are you laying the points?
Yeah, I'll take the Bills. I mean the Dolphins.
Yeah, Eric. I'll take the Dolphins to win pretty big, 10 points maybe.
Yeah, I like Miami in this game, and I think it sets up a possibility, depending on what happens with New England, of a very big game at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
A week from Sunday.
Hooray for the NFL flex schedule.
What do you got there, Fred?
Miami wins.
Fab 5, Freddie.
Yep, Miami.
Oh, they also call him Cam Wake.
Okay.
All right.
I stumbled upon that in the stories about Matt Roth.
Football things you don't care about.
Go F yourself.
Oh,
wow. That's pretty hard.
Wow. Arizona.
Is it hard to do, Eric? Have you tried?
Wow. It's just mean.
He really is
this
mean.
Is,
and yeah. You've gone back on your promise.
This
you
is how we did it.
Bitch.
This is how it happened.
Whoa.
Well, that's
just how it happens.
I assume you pleasure yourself, so that's fair game.
He just started
how exactly you pleasure
front.
Yourself
cat fight.
Is up for debate, but you pleasure yourself, so I'm allowed to make fun of you for that.
Wow.
Right?
What's the next pick?
What are you, Kelly Prejean?
Oh, wow.
What is that?
Carrie.
It's Carrie.
But, yeah, we know who you meant.
She talks about pleasuring herself?
She's a self-starter.
Yes.
Really?
She's a self-starter.
She's got a video
She sent the video to her ex-boyfriend and all that.
I haven't seen this. Why is,
now,
no,
is that
why
okay
is no
in
one
the Bible and all that? I mean, I thought she was like
a
strict Bible bumper.
Why is no one showing
she's
me
she's
that?
She's bumping something else.
Strippers, I need that video.
Yeah, I could use it, too.
Arizona is at Tennessee, where the Titans are favored by 2.5, the Cardinals undefeated on the road this year.
And the Titans undefeated in the Vince Young era 2009.
That's going to end.
No, it won't, because Chris Johnson is the best NFL player in the current moment. He's hot. Hot like the sun.
That's exactly how he would have written it, too.
As Mora would say. And they get it done at home.
I disagree. The streak comes to an end. Arizona wins.
You're wrong.
I agree with Eric. Arizona wins the game. As long as Warner is okay, and I think by all indications he could have
come back in
the second half. That's the only reason why that game got close last
God
week.
God told him to stay on the sideline for another couple minutes.
I think the Cardinals win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well.
Andy picks up a game on everyone. Doo-da, doo-da.
Seattle at St. Louis, and what should be a barn burner.
Another awful game. Boy, did this
St. Louis, a home dog getting 3. Emphasis on dog.
This is a dog game. I hate Seattle. I hate St. Louis. I will take the Seahawks to win.
Me too.
Yeah, I agree with Andy's assessment, but I will take the Seahawks just because I think they're better, and I think Bulger is out.
They're the better bad team.
Oh, yeah, Bulger's out.
So I will take
the
Seahawks. Bowler?
Kyle?
I think so, yeah.
Ooh, he stinks. See, Edwards is going to be out in Buffalo. Clearly, he was a Geron guy.
Well, Kyle Bowler's the guy going out with Kelly Prejean. Did you know that?
Carrie.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Carrie. He's not the one that got the video, though,
no,
is he?
No, no, no.
He's the new one?
They're making one right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Strippers, do I have that video yet?
Very good for
is
him.
Is that in my box yet?
Oh.
No, in
box. Who are you picking? Who are you picking?
Seattle.
I've been in her.
Oh, no, gosh. Apparently nothing's in her box except for herself.
She's a self-starter.
Did you just turn his mic off for a second?
Yeah.
I think he bleeped out, I don't know, box or
Tampa
something.
Bay is at Atlanta.
Oh,
Falcons by 12. A dozen.
Games get worse.
I will take Atlanta to win at home
this week
because they're the better team. Speaking of.
Not talking about Carey Prater.
But I will take the points because Tampa will unveil its secret weapon, Terrence. Blackballed, none.
Second to none.
We'll have a big day
none
in his
done.
Tampa debut. He'll probably be inactive, but I'll
none
take the points.
And done. I will take the Falcons because they have to be a better team than Tampa Bay.
Why do they have to be?
I'm going to lay the points, too. I think Atlanta lays a whooping on them.
Yeah, me too. Got to hurry.
I don't really know why. Carolina at the Jets. The Jets are favored by 3, trying to get out of their malaise, their funk, if
this
you will.
It's an interesting game on some level because you got two
teams
that can run the ball, two teams with quarterbacks who can throw as many interceptions as anyone on the planet.
Sure.
I will take the Jets to continue to flounder and the Carolina Panthers to run it down their throats. At some point, that defense becomes dejected, packs it in, goes home. That starts this week with Kerry Rhodes benched and Eric
Smitty
starting at safety. Who knew he was going to rise to stardom after blocking a punt against the Patriots?
I like Carolina to win this game, too. Not by much, though.
What was the spread?
Jets by 3.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
But I think they'll win in the upset.
Yeah,
the technical upset.
I think Andy's assessment of the game is accurate. However, I think the Jets are more equipped to stop the run than Carolina.
The only
fear is what Andy talked about, that dejection on the part of the defense. But I think that they still feel like they can win some games and build something for next year. I'll take the Jets to finally snap on.
You know what I think they feel?
This could be my last week taking the Jets, though.
I think in the back of their head they're hearing, it's all over.
And they may be deciding it's all over for their coach.
What is it again for you? Just end the season?
You think he's on the hot seat?
No, I don't think he's on the hot seat, but I think the players may be having doubts about him right now.
Yeah.
And if that's true, then they may lose out.
I'll pick the Jets in this game.
Because?
Just have to.
AFC
he just
versus
likes
NFC.
To button hook you.
I think the AFC.
River signing it.
Yeah.
Jacksonville at San Francisco, Andy, where the Niners are favored by 3.
I'll take the Niners. Had another Mike Singletary. It wasn't quite as entertaining the other day, but he was can't do it. Something about, I don't know, young players learning how to win or something. Mm-hmm. And I like Mike Singletary, and I hate Jack Del Rio.
I'm not really feeling confident about this game at all, but I'm going to take the Jaguars to win.
I totally agree with Eric. I have no idea about either one of these teams. I'll bet you I've lost picking both of them either way for the majority of the times. Right now, believe it or not, Jacksonville is the number 5 seed.
That's why I'm picking San Francisco.
And I'm going to take Jacksonville to win.
Now, I'm picking San Francisco just because I want them to win. But I am not like Paul. I don't know.
Like Paul, I don't know.
I'm just picking for a team. I'm picking a team I'm going to root for.
Kansas City is at San Diego.
I'm going to root for them.
Chargers by 13.5.
Chargers will win.
Woo!
And cover. They're playing good football right now. I don't really care for the Chiefs. Certainly not on the road.
Big win for the Chiefs last week. An aberration, though. San Diego wins big this time.
I mean, Andy Studebaker can't carry
No, he can't be doing
Maybe the best thing that happened to San Diego is to watch the Chiefs go out and beat Pittsburgh, and that gets their full attention this week. They're right in the thick of that fight for the number 2 seed with Cincinnati and New England. I think they keep it rolling.
Yeah, I got to go with San Diego as well.
As well.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 2.5 and two very disappointing teams.
Utterly disappointing.
Two teams that thought they were going to be big-time players in the AFC playoff hunt, and right now they're both hanging on.
Utterly wasted seasons by both of them. Could have been better, should have been better, aren't better. I will take Rashard Mendenhall in the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got payback on the mind with Ray Lewis in his sights. He's going to embarrass him and go for two Bills.
What's the deal with Worthless Hot Dog? Is he going to come back this week?
Yeah, he's fine. He became fine right when they found out Charlie Batch couldn't play.
Yeah.
Mendenhall and Dennis Dixon was their number 3. I mean, if you can survive a motorcycle accident, what's a little bump on the head? Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I have to take Pittsburgh in this one too. Baltimore is not the team I thought they were going to be this year.
Yeah, I agree with Eric, but I don't think Pittsburgh is either, so I will take the home team and I'll take Baltimore to win the game.
Yeah, this is a rough and tough game. I thought Baltimore was going to win that division this year with Pittsburgh number 2. Cincinnati's, you know, fooled everybody. And these two teams haven't played that well. But I'm going to go with Pittsburgh to win.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
But it's going to be a rough and tough game, and neither one of these teams are going to be a factor in the playoffs.
Wow. Strong statement from Fred Eschkosh.
I still wouldn't necessarily. I wouldn't want, you know. Yeah, I think you're right, Fred, in the big picture, but I wouldn't want to see the Patriots be like a 3 or a 4 and have to host one of these teams as a wild card, because I think they're both talented enough to beat you on the road.
Well, they both have great defenses, and Roethlisberger's a good quarterback. I'm not worried anymore about Baltimore's and Flacco.
Well, I don't think their defense is that good.
Flacco's gone down.
I think they're all like the rest of the league.
I actually think Flacco's played reasonably well, but they don't have any weapons that scare you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done as usual. There's like 10 minutes left. But
I have
2 game.
O'clock on my computer.
We have one game left. The Saints by 3, Andy.
As we argued about earlier, I think the New England Patriots are going to go on the road and get their first road victory of the season. I think the offense is going to score some points, won't turn it over, and I think the defense will force a turnover, and we'll play good enough again to get the job done on the road against an elite offense.
They've had the lead against good teams on the road in the second half a few times this year. They haven't gotten it done. They will get it done this week because their streak of never having lost to the New Orleans Saints at the Superdome will continue.
Okay.
I like the Saints in this game.
That's really what you're going
with? That's what I'm going with.
I think it comes down to turnovers in red zone, and I think the Patriots are going to turn the ball over. Maybe only once, but I think they will do it. And I think the red zone.
It's almost like a tennis match. You got to hold your serve.
You got to hold. Yeah. And I think it's going to be maybe the difference between one miss. But I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I think you get a red zone stop and a turnover, and that might be the difference for New Orleans. They win the game 38-27.
Yeah, shocker of all shockers. I'm picking the Saints. And I think they're going to cover.
Andy, you and I would have been the voice of reason on this thing.
Look,
well, me. I mean,
if the Patriots are lucky enough to meet them again in the Super Bowl, they'll beat them in the Super Bowl. But the defense just isn't quite ready yet. To do it.
Thanks, unbelievable.
So
I never thought I'd slip to
all right,
see the day.
That'll be it for this edition of PFW Progress. Stay tuned for a taped edition of Fantasy Lowdown. All your emails will be included in that you've been sending over the last 24 hours. So stay tuned for that. As for us, it's going to be like another week till we talk to you. Have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Wednesday.